He told investigators in his confession, allegedly, that he was there at the time investigators stopped by.
The trial of accused serial bomber Eric Rudolph is off before it even started. In a deal with the government, Rudolph has agreed to plead guilty in exchange for avoiding the death penalty. John Hawthorne, whose wife was killed in the Atlanta Olympic Park bombing, tells CNN affiliate WTVT that he appreciated prosecutors clearing the deal first with the victims' families.
Knowing that our actions or our opinion mattered was also very important to us. They didn't just make the decision in a vacuum and then tell us that they were making the decision.
A CBS cameraman injured in a firefight in Iraq is now under arrest on suspicion of working for the insurgency. CNN Radio's John Bisney explains.
After he was wounded by U.S. forces near Mosul, who mistakenly thought he had a weapon, the man was questioned, and it turned out his camera had videotapes of several roadside bombings aimed at American troops. U.S. authorities now believe insurgents had tipped him off in advance, and although his credentials indicate he's a freelance cameraman for CBS, that news organization has made no comment so far.
U.S. officials say the cameraman will be processed the same as any other security detainee. This is CNN Radio News.
So you've got frequent heartburn. Your wife says,
loosen your belt, sweetheart.
Your buddy says, sleep sitting up. Well, maybe it's time to get your advice from more credible sources. Because now, doctors and pharmacists are recommending Prilosec OTC more than any other OTC acid reducer. It's their number one choice. One pill a day for 24 hours of zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief, based on share of recommendations.
Here's your chance to get your Goodyears during the Goodyear Ultimate Champion Tire Sale. That's right, now through April 9th. Put the pedal to the metal and save on a large selection of popular Goodyear tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit a participating Goodyear retailer for complete details. Plus, check out Goodyear's assurance brand of passenger tires. Race in and get your Goodyears today. Goodyear, the official tire supplier of NASCAR.
NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing Incorporated.
Another bizarre day in the Michael Jackson trial. CNN Radio's Miguel Marquez says today's testimony included an appearance by a former maid who talked about monkeys in Jackson's bedroom.
She said that, yes, there were monkeys in Mr. Jackson's bedroom, even though she had previously said, no, there were not monkeys in Mr. Jackson's bedroom. She said she had been bit by the monkey. She said she had to clean up feces of the monkey, not on the floor, but on the wall. And then she added, sometimes monkeys get wild.
Also today, a former Jackson employee told the court he once saw Jackson put his hand down the pants of former child actor Macaulay Culkin. Culkin has publicly denied ever being molested by Jackson. Federal court in Iowa is revoking the citizenship of an 80-year-old man who once served as a Nazi concentration camp guard. John Hansel says he disclosed his war history when he came to the U.S. in 1955. Prosecutors, though, say he never revealed his role as a concentration camp guard. This is news from CNN Radio. Beauty may be only skin deep, but it apparently pays in the long run. CNN Radio's Rachel Lee explains.
They don't just look good. Beautiful people also earn more. Researchers at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis say good-looking, slim, tall people make more money. Beautiful people earn about 5% more an hour, while those with below-average looks earn 9% less. White women who are obese earn 17% less than others at a healthy weight, while for men, researchers found a 1.8% increase in wages for every inch of height above average. Rachel Lee, CNN Radio, Atlanta.
And a stolen Picasso has been recovered nearly a year after it was stolen in France. That painting was found in a drug trafficker's home outside of Paris. It is valued at more than $3 million. I'm Greg Black. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
Righties are really good at asking the straight question for yes, no. Are they closing VA clinics in America? And the answer is yes. Are they reducing benefits? The answer is yes. Are they fully funding veterans benefits? And the answer is no.
Straight talk is progressive talk. Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1. When lives and property are at risk, we get moving. We're the Air Force Reserve. Our mission? An assault on Mother Nature's most daunting adversary, forest fires. By dropping thousands of gallons of fire retardant in just seconds, we're there working to save our forests and to save lives. Air Force Reserve aerial firefighting may be a part-time job, but it's a full-time experience and just one of many exciting careers in the Air Force Reserve. Call 800-257-1212 or visit us online at afreserve.com. Air Force Reserve, above and beyond.
Always correct, but never right. It's time for Mike Malloy to step up to the mic on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic, 92.1.
Seekers, Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Hey, we're going to have some fun tonight. We've got Pickles. Yes, we do. We've got Novak and Judy Woodruff. We've got Dancing Bears and Clowns. You don't want to miss a minute tonight. The bit with Pickles, you know, she was in Afghanistan. When was that, Kathy? Last week for about 6 hours. She was on the ground for about 6 hours. She flew over there to congratulate women in Afghanistan about the wonderful advances that they are now experiencing as a result of her Bushy, as she puts it, his bringing freedom and democracy to a formerly a savage nation like Afghanistan. And once again, we have an audio tape. The press was barred from this. The Western press was barred from it. But I happen to have a friend who works for the Pakistani SSI, and they made a digital recording and sent it to us from Islamabad. So I want you to hear that a little bit later tonight. Also, something very strange. The other day on Inside Politics, Judy Woodruff, you know, everybody is just falling all over themselves about Catholicism because of the death of the Pope. And we'll have some things to say about that tonight, too. It'll probably get us in real trouble, but I don't, frankly, give a damn. what did somebody say? This program is like the Jimi Hendrix of talk radio? Oh, okay. But the Judy Woodruff interviewed or talked with the traitorous, treasonous Robert Novak, who belongs in prison. He should be in prison for what he did about the Valerie Plame affair. And poor old Judy Woodruff interviewed him about his conversion to Catholicism. You know, he was born a Jew, raised a Jew, and then at some point apparently had a nervous breakdown, and like Saul on the road to Damascus, had his conversion, and he's now a Christian Catholic, or a Catholic Christian, or however you say that. Anyway, we got the transcript, and I was just going to read it over the air because it reads so insane. But we decided, no, let's do it this way. Kathy will do Judy, I will do Novak, and we'll do it that way. And, it works a little bit better. All right? Okay, so we have, is it gonna work? so we have some fun and frivolity scheduled for you this evening. And as usual on the Malloy program, it's always at the expense of someone else, right? We can't do humor unless we're attacking, slashing, and burning. And I'm going to forewarn you now. If you're a devout Catholic, you may want to go watch television or something, because I've just about had it with this Pope nonsense. I really have. Not just the media coverage, but the whole shtick. All right, and that's going to come out tonight. So anyway, got an email here first from Darren in North Carolina. He says, and so it begins. Browsing through the classifieds of my local paper, I came across an ad seeking heavy lifters in warehouse positions. The jobs are for Samaritan's Purse, a self-described Christian international relief organization. Actually, I think that's also run by Franklin Graham, the Billy Graham organization. Darren goes on, everything looked fine at first blush. The jobs last 2 to 6 weeks, first shift, Monday through Saturday. Applicants should be able to stand for an entire shift and lift between 50 to 70 pounds. Okay, all good. And then they drop this nugget. Quote, must submit a Christian testimony and be able to provide a pastor's reference, end quote. Now, I wasn't aware, Darren writes, that this faith-based legislation was even signed yet, and if it was, it still stinks, in my opinion. What the hell difference does it make what a person's faith is when it comes to manual labor? The duties for this job consist of, quote, receiving, processing, and shipping shoeboxes, end quote, in a processing center. That's it. No proselytizing, no dealings with the public, yet only Christians with a pastoral reference need apply. This is shameful, Darren writes, and any religion that practices in this manner should be ashamed. Poor, hungry? Poor or hungry? Need a job? Sorry, you're not one of us. But we have a nice soup kitchen in town. Head over there for supper. Darren in North Carolina sent that. Yeah. Oh, it's going to get much worse. It's going to be... Oh, it's that's just the beginning, Darren. Bush is tanking. That's the reason Carl sent him over to sneak around like some kind of a furtive little snake at the Pope's funeral. His standing with the public is plunging. And the only government institution with a lower rating than Bush's right now is the Republican-controlled Congress, right? Now, according to the latest AP Ipsos poll, Bush's approval rating now is at 44%. Some polls are showing 41%. This is it's astonishing, but it warms the cockles of my heart and other parts of my heart too. I hope his approval rating falls into the teens. Maybe then Americans will develop enough spine, enough backbone, enough courage to end this presidency legally and peacefully, of course, as quickly as possible. 55% now disapprove of the way this freak is handling his duties as president. And only 37% have a favorable opinion of the work being done by the Republican-controlled Congress. That's both houses, you know, 37%. Oh, jeez. Now, break it down just a little bit, and then we're going to move on. The number supporting Bush's handling of some domestic issues is down to 42% for the economy, 38% for issues like education and health care. Support for Bush's approach to his top domestic priority, Social Security destruction, support for that remains at 36%. 60% oppose it. Young adults are supposed to benefit from the most from Bush's Social Security destruction, but a majority of that group, 54% of the young people, say no, hell no, get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of town with that crap, right? And Karen in L.A. wrote in, if Bush's ratings have plummeted to 41%, according to some polls, with very little real news on the mainstream media outlets or networks because of the Pope thing, what would the ratings be, Karen writes, if the media told the truth, the news, all the news, that is real, without opinion? 10%? Less? Imagine, this is all happening, this plunge in Bush's ratings, without mainstream media fairly and accurately reporting, like the BBC does. Yeah, it's that bad, Karen. It really is. Now, as you know, Karl Rove sent Bushy over to Rome to join the throngs of the faithful today and paying final respects to JP2. And if you saw the picture, it was in today's New York Times or yesterday's. It was all over the place. Bush was close to the front of the section reserved for world leaders, and they're being seated in alphabetical order in French. The U.S. in French is Estat Uni. Is that how you say it? Estat Uni? Got it? Okay. Bush sat on the aisle in the second row next to his wife, Pickles, and beside the two of them were French President Jacques Chirac and his wife, Bernadette. And the Associated Press reports that the two presidents shook hands. Now, how hated is this thug, this American murderer, this warmonger? Huh? How hated is he? When Bush's face appeared on giant TV screens throughout Rome during the ceremony, many in the crowds outside St. Peter's Square booed at a funeral. A funeral for the Pope. And they booed this idiot. Oh, and they whistled, which is the equivalent in this country of shrieking, you know, go to hell, drop dead, go away, all your mother's underwear, you know, that sort of thing. Booed! That's how hated this man is around the world. This was an international audience of people who had come to see this dead pope, and they booed him. God. And it's important to remember that this pope, no matter how weird he was in the final analysis, and there's an awful lot of weirdness about JP II. There was. He opposed war, okay. But there were some things about him that and we'll get into a little bit later here. But it's important to remember that John Paul II was no fan of George W. Bush's warmongering. He was an early, consistent, passionate, and always outspoken critic of this thug scheming to invade Iraq. So there's Bush kneeling at the rail, right, and his face is flashed on television, and across Rome, millions boo him.
And recall soldiers on foreign soil. Well, we're not here to fight your war. We know what you're fighting for.
Finally found your radio station, so isn't it time you found your magazine? Right now is the perfect time to discover America's hottest, widest read journal of opinion, The Nation. Because right now, The Nation is absolutely free. Nobody, not Murdoch, not Time Warner, nobody owns The Nation. So nobody stops The Nation from exposing the frauds, follies, and felonies of George W. Bush and company. At last, that famous liberal media bias you can't find anywhere else. Go to readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863. And accept their free four-issue mini-subscription. After 4 weeks, you can bail out. Just write cancel on our invoice. But I predict you'll be addicted. And delighted to sign up for 24 weeks at just $13.95. That's just 58 cents a week. The Nation, risk-free. At readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863. Call 800-999-6863. And accept four issues free. The Nation.
Morning's Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So as you know, we have the iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. So let's crank this baby up and feed it some headlines. New Burger King breakfast sandwich has 730 calories. Translation, plot to kill Bill Clinton exposed.
Morning's Edition.
Yay.
From 5 to 8.
On Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
The last time I saw Paul was in the late summer of 2002, about 6 weeks before he died in a plane crash. It was an evening event in the Twin Cities. Paul was in the middle of an intense, dead-even Senate race. He had been targeted as vulnerable by the National Republican Party, and money was flowing in from around the country for his opponent, a suit named Norm Coleman. Paul was fighting for his political life. The first thing he asked me was, "How's your mom?" I told Paul I had just visited her. It was tough, I said. I couldn't even have a conversation with her. Paul nodded and said, "You know, touch means so much." The next day, I took my mom out into the nursing home garden in her wheelchair. It was a beautiful day. I sat next to her for a couple of hours with my arm around her. I can't tell you whether it meant a thing to her, but it meant a lot to me. So that was Paul. Touch means so much wasn't the kind of thing you'd hear from a Michael Dukakis. I, along with innumerable people, loved Paul Wellstone for what he stood for what he fought for, and for who he was. I loved his wife Sheila, too. I don't think I ever saw Paul without Sheila by his side. Paul died on October 25th, 2002, when his plane went down in northern Minnesota. Sheila, his daughter Marcia, his driver Will McLaughlin, two other close aides, Tom Lapick and Mary McAvoy, and two pilots died with him. 4 days later, C-SPAN, along with almost every Minnesota TV and radio station, carried a hastily put together memorial service for Paul, Sheila, Marcia, Will, Tom, and Mary. I was there. It was a beautiful memorial, sometimes incredibly sad, sometimes funny, sometimes rowdy, and sometimes political. Some people watching on television were offended. Some people were moved. But the right saw an opening. They took moments out of context, lied about the rest, and used it as a political club to attack the Democrats. It won them the Senate in Minnesota and probably in Missouri, which means it gave Republicans control of the Senate.
People who paid for the drug Lupron could get money from a nationwide settlement about the cost, not the safety of Lupron. There are deadlines to act on your rights, so go to LupronClaims.com. That's LupronClaims.com.
You're on the mic.
It's great to have Progressive Talk in Madison. Thanks.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic, 92.1.
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Can you imagine Bush sitting next to Jacques Chirac? Yeah, I bet that was fun. John Paul II, from all reports, did not care for George W. Bush. Now, who knows what goes on inside somebody else's head? So it would be probably a bad move on anyone's part to say this is what the Pope thought, this is what the Pope felt. That would be kind of stupid on the part of the person who would say that. But from all indications, he didn't care too much at all for George W. Bush. He was an early a critic of Bush's scheming to invade Iraq. He went so far as to meet with world leaders who were close to Bush, including Blair and Berlusconi, to try to prevent the war. And according to John Nichols, writing an editorial for The Nation yesterday, when the war began, aides said that the Pope was, quote, very disappointed and very sad, end quote, that Bush had ignored appeals to give peace a chance. And according to Nichols, writing at The Nation, the Pope remained a critic of U.S. actions in Iraq, especially after it was revealed in May 2004 that Iraqi prisoners had been abused at the Abu Ghraib prison. John Paul said, quote, from all continents come endless disturbing information about the human rights situation, revealing that men, women, and children are being tortured and their dignity being made a mockery of. It is all of humanity which has been wounded and ridiculed. Well, there you go, Bush. What the hell are you doing skulking around the Pope's funeral rituals, huh? You little dweeb. He was talking about you when he said that. Now, it gets worse. According to, this is in the New Catholic Times 2 years ago, according to freelance journalist Wayne Madsen, who writes frequently for Counterpunch, quote, George W. Bush's bloodlust, his repeated commitment to Christian beliefs, and his constant references to evildoers, in the eyes of many devout Catholic leaders, bear all the hallmarks of the one warned about in the book of Revelation, the Antichrist. End quote. Now, Madsen claimed that people close to the Pope said that amid all these concerns about George W. Bush, the pontiff wished he was younger and in better health to confront the possibility that Bush may represent the person prophesied in Revelation. It is a known fact that John Paul was always believed that the world was on the precipice of that final confrontation between good and evil, as foretold in the New Testament, the Christian New Testament. Before he became Pope, when he was a cardinal, he said, quote, we are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has gone through. We are facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, the gospel versus the anti-gospel. And apparently, and again, heavy emphasis on the word apparently, this Pope entertained the thought at least once that George W. Bush was in fact the spawn of Satan, the Antichrist. And there he is skulking around. Did you see the pictures of him? Huh? You know, in the Catholic ceremonies. Just when you go to a Catholic church, I know I've been in many Catholic churches, and there comes a point before the homily when they're doing. Now, don't email me with the right procession here, how this is handled. I know I'm going to get it wrong. But there comes a point where you're supposed to turn to your neighbor, right, and shake hands or say welcome or give them a hug or the European way, a kiss here, a kiss here, a kiss back there, you know, cheek, cheek, cheek. So I was watching this on TV for the umpteenth time when, was it Karl Ratzinger, this church neo-Nazi? He's a cardinal, but he's also a Nazi. Here's Ratzinger giving some sort of a sermon or homily, and he comes to that part where he says, welcome the person nearest you. And the camera went to Bush. And Bush is turning this way, and he's turning that way, and everybody's turning away from him! I saw that! And finally, Bush grabs somebody by the arm. Shake my hand, damn it. You know, that kind of thing. And Bernard Cardinal Law, the guy in Boston who covered up God knows how many episodes, crimes of pedophilia, child rape, has been elevated to a position of prominence within the Catholic hierarchy and was one of the people who gave a sermon. Is that not correct? Cardinal Law, which goes to show you the lack of interest in the Vatican, anyway, where it concerned the vicious, brutal destruction and molestation of children. Didn't Christ say, suffer the little children? That means protect them. Ah, damn. I've had enough. There's Bush, who in the Pope's mind possibly was the Antichrist. This whole thing, I'm sick of the theater. You know what I'm saying? Talk like an angel, but I got
one. You're the devil in disguise. Mother Jones Magazine reports this month that privatization has run amok. And it's not just Social Security that's at risk. Ideas and words that used to belong to the public are quickly slipping into private hands. Donald Trump has trademarked the phrase, you're fired, and the hand gesture that goes with it. Excerpts from Martin Luther King's speeches are cut from textbooks because publishers can't afford to buy the rights from his family. Comedians had to fend off music industry lawyers when they made a parody of the song, This Land Is Your Land. But it doesn't stop there. Public universities are now auctioning off their scientific research to corporations. Taxpayers pay for this research, but then it's locked up by corporations and used for private profit. President Bush has pushed for an ownership society. But let's hope this doesn't turn into a country where everything is owned. Words and knowledge belong to everyone. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Buy West Wing, the complete fourth season, Tuesday on DVD. A new term.
God bless you!
Threat to national security.
Zoe Bartlett is missing, and there's a dead agent at the scene.
Tell me now, do you think she's already dead?
And no choice but to step aside.
He's invoking the 25th Amendment.
You're relieved, Mr. President.
DVD includes unaired scenes and bonus features that take you inside the White House and behind the scenes. West Wing, the complete fourth season. Buy it April 5th. And also available on DVD, the complete first three seasons.
Isn't spring great? Colors are in bloom everywhere. Pink petunias in the yard, red roses in the garden, soft lilac in the bedroom.
Bedroom?
I like color bloom in my room with Ace Royal Paint. They've got thousands of colors to choose from, or they'll match any color you want.
Oh, so my kitchen could match my marigolds.
Sure.
And my bedroom, tulips.
Tell us how you like color bloom, and you could win a $1,000 gift card and have your room star in an Ace ad. Plus, save $5 on every gallon of Ace Royal Paint. See your local Ace, the helpful place, for details. No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Contest ends 7/31/05. Void where prohibited.
Madison's Progressives are on Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike, 92.1.
Call it shock and the revelations of the past few weeks about our government's actions, excuses, and feigned ignorance should have produced a Nixon-era level of outrage. The report from the Presidential Commission on WMD proves a coordinated effort to mislead our Congress, the nation, and the world in order to invade Iraq. I'm Lee Rayburn, and the conclusion of the President's Commission on WMD was that our intelligence agencies were dead wrong about Iraqi purchases of uranium from Africa, mobile biological weapon labs, aluminum tubes for centrifuge, and the possession of weapons of mass destruction. In fact, the report states that each piece of evidence had been tested and disproved by UN inspectors who had extraordinary access during the 3 months leading to our invasion. The report concludes that intelligence agencies worked in an environment that did not encourage skepticism about the conventional wisdom. That environment was shaped by a gathering conviction among analysts that war with Iraq was inevitable. As damaging as the report is, it's not complete. The commission was ordered not to interview policymakers like the president and vice president. They did not mention the repeated intrusion of Dick Cheney into the CIA in the summer of 2002. They did not mention the Office of Special Plans, or as Colin Powell called it, Cheney's Gestapo office, set up by Donald Rumsfeld and Douglas Feith for the sole purpose of developing intelligence to justify a regime change in Iraq. However, the commission's report did find that our Iraqi informant called Curveball had been repeatedly discredited. Prior to the invasion into Iraq, repeated warnings from the CIA and the DIA considered Curveball unreliable. Sadly, according to the report, the more Curveball's credibility came into question, the more his allegations were used to bolster the case for war. Putting the pieces together proves a selection of intelligence that paved the way for our government to knowingly enter into a war based on lies. This abuse of power rivals every federal criminal act since our country was founded. The only reason our America won't wake up and cry for justice is the shock and shh campaign being waged against us in the evening news, on the front page of newspapers, and on right-wing talk radio. It's time we began the battle cry for our own regime change.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
Vice President Dick Cheney wanted to keep a relatively low profile in President Bush's second term, but that apparently not possible. He has been reanimated.
My non-flamboyant, straightforward style tests well with older voters. Listen up, you old farts. It's our way or the highway. You either play along or we're going to replace your medications with rat poison and kick your walkers out from under you.
It's calming. He's very soothing.
Stephanie Miller. Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike 92.1.
I'm George W. Bush, leader of the free world. I want to bomb Iraq. And when the world says no, I say, yeah, whatever. Saddam has started to meet our demands. Yeah, whatever. I talked to Colin Powell. He said,
sir, maybe we should give the inspectors more time.
I said, no. You know why? Because this is my United States of whatever. Yeah. And this is my United States of whatever.
President Bush.
Hush up. Don't talk to me now. Because this is my United States of
whatever.
Leave it to me. Hello.
This is Putin. Russia will veto war.
I see. Whatever.
Mr. President, North Korea's got nukes.
Oh, ding dong dong ding ding dong dong. Translation? Whatever!
I am Bin Laden. You still have not caught me.
I'm George W. You know what the W stands for? Yet.
Whatever.
Hi, and this is ding ding dong, ding ding dong,
whatever!
I hope you got the message.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Get your laps in the morning. Get a little randy on the way home. Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1. Streaming at themike921.com.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Well, every time I look at the television screen, it's just crawling with these Opus Dei people. You know, whether it's Mel Gibson or Pat Buchanan or Robert Novak, these real church Nazis, these people are scary. They're scary beyond belief. They're almost as scary as the Dominionists over on the Protestant side. I would like to see... the final battle between the Dominionists on the Protestant side and the Opus Dei folks on the Catholic side, and just get it settled for once and for all. Ever since Martin Luther, there's been this big schism, right? You guys ought to get it settled. How about meeting on the plains of the Plan du Jar someplace? You know, where's that? Is that in Vietnam? I don't even know. I don't even care. But, you know, let's get all these royal knights together, like Rupert Murdoch. Wasn't Murdoch given knighthood, Catholic Church knighthood? He was anointed, he and his wife, as members of the Pontifical Order of St. Gregory the Great about 7 years ago, because he made a $10 million contribution toward the construction of a Catholic cathedral in L.A., huh? What does it say here? This knighthood, bestowed on behalf of the Pope, is given to persons, quote, of unblemished character, end quote, who have promoted the interests of society, the Catholic Church, and the Holy See. Now, this was right after he divorced his wife of many years to marry his hoe, right? And right after he did that, or before he did it, or right around the time he did it, you know, the Church honors him by making him a knight of the Order of St. Gregory the Great. Oh, I know. I should be used to hypocrisy. All right, back to Novak. On Wednesday's Inside Politics, Judy Woodruff did a piece on Novak's conversion to Catholicism. And we thought we would just go ahead and do it in our inimitable way here on the Molloy program. Kathy is going to play the part of Judy Woodruff, and I'm going to play the part of Robert Novak. So kick back, fill up your glass, and how long is this? It's on. It's very short, right? About 4 minutes. All right, you ready? Let's rock.
Coverage of the Catholic Church following the death of the Pope has given many people a new look at a centuries-old faith. For some, like our own Bob Novak, embracing Catholicism can be part of a lifelong journey. Here's the story of his choice to become a Catholic. It was one day some years ago that this man known to many as the Prince of Darkness walked into one of the oldest churches in Washington and saw the light. Robert Novak, veteran journalist, fiery conservative, born a Jew, converted Catholic. On many days, here's where you find him, in the pews of St. Patrick's Church, today reflecting on the Pope.
I'm a poor mortal, and I know certainly not as good a Christian as most of the people sitting in the church, and certainly not better.
At home, Bob and I sift through old photographs. I see a smiling Bob Novak in this picture.
Yes, I was a little different then.
As the hard-bitten, often acerbic columnist traces his spiritual growth, he was raised by loving Jewish parents in a modest home in Joliet, Illinois.
Well, my family was not very observant. My father had never been bar mitzvah, and his father was not a very good Jew, but I was bar mitzvah.
Novak calls the event his last association with Judaism. He says he never really connected with the faith. So the years passed, and the little boy grew up, left for college, moved to Washington, became a fixture on the political scene, got married, had children and grandchildren, a full life. Yet something was lacking.
I was kind of feeling a spiritual need all those years. My wife Jody and I went to an Episcopalian church for a while. It just seemed very political to me. You know, the guy, the preacher, was a liberal and was talking about opposing the war in Vietnam, and I didn't want to hear that when I went to church. I wanted something spiritual.
Then, in the early 90s, the Novaks discovered St. Patrick's Catholic Parish. They started attending services every Sunday.
I liked them very much because they were about God and redemption. We're all sinners, and there is forgiveness. There was almost never anything political.
But conversion was something he never contemplated until the late 90s. He was in Syracuse giving a speech, and he met a young woman, and they got to talking about religion.
And she said, "Are you going to convert?" And I said, "No, I have no such plans." And she said, "Well, Mr. Novak," she said, "life is temporary, but faith is eternal."
So one brief conversation with someone was enough to turn the key?
Well, it was the Holy Spirit talking to me. It was telling me that it was time to go. I had that feeling.
So in May of 1998, Robert David Novak was baptized a Catholic here in St. Patrick's.
My patron saint is St. Thomas More.
Bob Novak tries to be a good Catholic, attends Mass regularly, abides by church traditions, all the while maintaining his characteristic bombast.
The Democrats are entitled to be just as vile as they want.
But he says he honestly believes his faith has made him a better man.
People laugh at that because they know some of my faults, but I don't think they realize how bad a person I was before I became a Christian and a Catholic.
And so it was that the Prince of Darkness embraced the Prince of Peace. And we want to thank Bob Novak for sharing his private story of his faith with all of us.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Judy. All right, get your barf bag out. I can't handle too much more. How about you, Truth Seeker, huh? All of a sudden, everybody's a Catholic, right? Everybody's a Catholic. Bob Novak! The only reason he became a Catholic was he found out they had something called Opus Dei, which means we get to kill everybody on earth whenever we damn well please. And this Carl Ratzinger, you know Ratzinger, who gave the, I think he preached the funeral thing, he heads up the office of the papacy that back in the 13th century, or the 14th century, 15th century, was the, would have been called the Inquisition. Carl Ratzinger heads that department, okay? The Catholic Church has an institutional memory that goes back 2,000 years. So here's Carl Ratzinger and Bernard Cardinal Law. How do you describe these two? How do you describe the guy who covered up hundreds of cases of child abuse, child molestation, child rape by his priests? That would be Cardinal Law. And then Ratzinger, who believes the only good Jew is a dead Jew, regardless of what the Pope said. Did that make it? What's the Pope doing today? Is he talking to Jews again? Oi, oi, oi. It's incredible. Here's Ratzinger and Law. I'm sorry. You're a Catholic. You don't like what I'm saying tonight. Adios. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. But Ratzinger heads the office of the Inquisition. Now, if you're Catholic, ask some of your Jewish friends, if you have any, their historical take on what happened in Spain in the 1400s. Huh? Spain used to be pretty much a Jewish country. Well, all right, not necessarily Jewish. A lot of Jews, a lot of Muslims lived there in the 14th century. Until all of a sudden, Ratzinger's office, well, he wasn't, you know, but the office that he runs now decided, well, it's time to purge Spain. Let's go. Now, I know the Pope apologized for the horror committed against the Jews and the Gypsies and the Slavs and the Poles and all the people who were sucked into the World War II Holocaust in Central Europe. But how about the hundreds of thousands, millions of people that were burned and tortured and slaughtered and thrown into jails and beheaded and their arms cut off and their feet cut off, like the Inquisition was some kind of a damn a Viet Cong operation, huh? Where's the apology for that? Too late now, right? And why were some of these people eviscerated, opened up while they were still breathing? The Jews and the Muslims and the non-believers, why were they opened up? Because they had the temerity to challenge the wealth, perhaps, of the Catholic Church 600 years ago, 700 years ago, 400 years ago. And these disgusting fake Christians over here who tried to align themselves with the Pope's so-called culture of life thing. Huh? Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Culture of life. The only place these Protestants in this country agree with the Pope on the so-called culture of life was on abortion. That's it. Anything else, give me death. Give me culture of death. Huh? Executions, capital punishment, war, slaughter, torture. I don't care. Oh, but where it concerns abortion. Eh? Or maybe euthanasia. I'm with the Pope, man. I'm with the Pope. I came with the guy in the robes. I'm with the Pope.
This is what these Protestants in this country, people like Tom DeLay and the rest of these monsters. John Paul explained his position on the so-called culture of life clearly in 1995. He said, he issued a proclamation. He said, today this proclamation is especially pressing because of the extraordinary increase in gravity of threats to the life of individuals and peoples, especially where life is weak and defenseless. In addition to the ancient scourges of poverty, hunger, endemic disease, violence, and war, new threats are emerging on an alarmingly vast scale, end quote. Now, who do you suppose he was talking about back in 1995, huh? Who was waging war and kicking ass and taking names and brutalizing people on the world stage back in 1995? Think about it. This is Air America.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. 4200.
Good news about Aleve for those with arthritis pain. Reports are out about an independent government panel. According to the New York Times, several panel members said that patients in need of pain relief should first try naproxen, sold as Aleve, before COX-2 inhibitors. Forbes.com says the committee considered naproxen to be the safest NSAID from a cardiovascular standpoint. If you suffer from arthritis, ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Morning's Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
These religious fanatics, they're a cancer in this culture. They're a cancer that is going to pull the country down with them in their simplicity, in their narrow-mindedness, in their fear of progress, in their repression. And they play the role of the victim, which is the most aggressive and hostile position you can take. There's no end to the black hole of the victim stance on things.
Morning's Edition from 5 to 8.
On Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mic, 92.1.
An OnStar conversation, May 22nd, 2004.
OnStar emergency, this is Natalie.
Yes, I need an ambulance. I have my two children in the car and my sister.
Okay, I have you on Highway 20.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, I'm contacting emergency services.
Thank you.
Every month, OnStar offers help in thousands of emergencies.
Please.
Hi, this is Natalie with OnStar, calling to report a vehicle crash with airbag deployment.
What happened?
I can conference them in. They did request an ambulance. I believe there are injuries and there are small children involved.
Ma'am, tell me what's going on.
My nephew has a big gash. His head is bleeding.
Okay, we'll send someone out.
Do you want me to remain on the line?
Yes, ma'am, please.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
Okay, the police are there. Yes.
You'll find OnStar on over 50 GM models, including vehicles with an MSRP around $16,000. OnStar by GM. To learn more, visit OnStar.com.
Attention, Single Air America listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brusho, Brush Lintball.
To tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Air America because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Air America listeners and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews.
Take it from me, folks. Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to actually meet the other people who listen to Air America, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. In short, DemocraticMatch.com gives you the opportunity to meet a real soulmate. So what have you got to lose? Sign up today at DemocraticMatch.com.
Young, who got
2 good minutes in the first half, hits the jumper. Tiffany Young, a junior from Hillsboro, Alabama, has 4. Young, 17, and Tiffany Young with a sensational performance off the bench.
5 months after leading Purdue to an NCAA championship, Tiffany Young was killed by a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Bike.
I just love the shows. Al Franken, Randy Rhodes, all those shows, they're great.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic, 92.1.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, right after the break at the top of the hour, we're going to play this audio disc that we have from Pickles in Afghanistan last week when she was on the ground for about, what was it, 6 hours, Kathy, and had a meeting with Afghan women. Stick around. That's just right after the break, all right? Back to this culture of life thing and these thugs and snakes and hypocrites who are trying to embrace this dead pope's body. People like Tom DeLay and George Bush and Bill Frist and the rest of these animals. It's disgusting to see. I don't know what irritates me more or makes me more ill. This wall-to-wall coverage, how long has this been going on now? As if the whole world were Catholic. I don't know. I'm sorry if you, like I say, I already apologize to you if you're Catholic. I'm not in a pro-Catholic mood tonight. I'm never in a pro-religious mood to begin with. But, what is more irritating? This wall-to-wall coverage, under which all sorts of devious trickery and treachery is being perpetrated by these Republicans. Hey, we don't have to worry about being found out because it's dead Pope time, and we know that's going to be 24/7, so let's go ahead. Let's get all the nastiness done. This is what they do. This is... So here are these filthy Republicans who have gone to try to get the washout from the Pope's body of the pro-life kind of attitude. It just so happens that to a far greater degree than these American Protestants, this Pope was pro-life. Now, the qualifier, to a far greater degree, right? We'll get into that a little bit later. But the Pope did say, whatever is opposed, quote, whatever is opposed to life itself violates the integrity of the human person, such as mutilation, torments inflicted on body or mind, attempts to coerce the will itself, whatever insults human dignity, such as subhuman living conditions, arbitrary imprisonment, deportation, slavery, prostitution, the selling of women and children. Let me digress. This is what we talked about the pig Tom DeLay last night, right? When he killed legislation in the U.S. House several years ago that would have stopped the selling of children in the North Mariana Islands, the area that's more commonly known as Saipan. And this stuff about arbitrary imprisonment, that's George Bush! Slavery, prostitution, subhuman living conditions, who's the Pope talking about? Who is he talking about? He goes on. As well as disgraceful working conditions where people are treated as mere instruments of gain rather than as free and responsible persons. All these things and others like them are infamies indeed. They poison human society and they do more harm to those who practice them than to those who suffer from the injury. Moreover, they are a supreme dishonor to the Creator. End quote. So this culture of life thing that the Pope talked about is as different from the culture of life thing that these thugs in America talk about as North is from South. John Paul was anti-war. He was anti-death penalty. He was anti-torture. These Protestant Republicans in this country, and the Catholic Republicans are pro-capital punishment, pro-war, pro-torture. We have a Catholic
who is now the Attorney General of the United States, who finds it advantageous to say to the committee interviewing him about his position where it concerns torture, I'll get back to you on that. Alberto Gonzalez, hell waits for you. We have Jews in this country. We have Catholics in this country. We have Protestants and Muslims in this country who would urinate all over any Pope's corpse with their hypocrisy. But there they all are, right? I can't stand it. I'm sorry. I cannot tolerate sneakiness, lying, and hypocrisy. I can't. I can't. Can you? If you're a Republican, it's your mother's milk. It's your life's blood. It's what you feast on. If you're a normal person, you can't stand it. And I can't stand it. I think about how many bishops in this last election declared John Kerry apostate because he was a pro-choice Catholic. The same bishops who would say, oh, war is okay. Capital punishment is okay. I'm not talking about bishops of the church. I'm talking about self-appointed bishops. Bishops, you know what I mean. These fake, phony Christians, I don't care if they're Protestant or Catholic. Yeah, let's go after Kerry and his pro-choice position where it concerns abortion. In the meantime, let's stand over here and up the ante with the shock and the awe. Let's go kill some Muslims. If a few Jews and Catholics get in the way and Protestants, too bad. Collateral damage. Let's send American service, men and women, whether they're Jew, Gentile, doesn't make a difference. Let's send them over there to burn babies and to be killed themselves. Come on, let's do it. Oh, by the way, John Kerry is not pro-life. I hate these people. I hate them with a passion that is just astonishes me sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Thy name is Bush. Thy name is Republican. I don't know how you people live with yourselves. When we come back, pickles addressing women in Afghanistan. You're gonna love it. Stick around. This is Air America.
Soy Barton is missing, and there's a dead agent at the scene.
Tell me now, do you think she's already dead?
And no choice but to step aside.
He's invoking the 25th Amendment.
You're relieved, Mr. President.
DVD includes unaired scenes and bonus features that take you inside the White House and behind the scenes. West Wing, the complete fourth season. Buy it now, and also available on DVD, the complete first three seasons.
Isn't spring great? Colors are in bloom everywhere. Pink petunias in the yard, red roses in the garden, soft lilac in the bedroom.
Bedroom?
I let color bloom in my room with Ace Royal Paint. They've got thousands of colors to choose from, or they'll match any color you want.
Oh, so my kitchen can match my marigolds.
Sure.
And my bedroom, tulips.
Tell us how you let color bloom, and you could win a $1,000 gift card and have your room star in an Ace ad. Plus, save $5 on every gallon of Ace Royal Paint. See your local Ace, the helpful place, for details. No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Contest ends 7/31/05. Void where prohibited.
The next time you see a Philip Morris commercial that makes it look like Big Tobacco really cares about your health, understand that as the commercial is running, Big Tobacco is doing everything they can do to target children with exotic new brands of cigarettes that are candy-flavored. We're going to be talking about that. We'll also turn up the heat on Bill Frist, who's looking out more for the health of the pharmaceutical companies than he is yours. And we'll pay tribute to a real friend and a colleague, the real Johnny Cochran. Join Bobby and me on Ring of Fire
Saturday at 5. On the Mike 92.1.
This is Mike Love of the Beach Boys. America, we need to plant more trees.
You can make the
air taste fresher. Breathe as deeply as you please. Make the world a better place. Protecting our good earth with trees. Help the Arbor Day Foundation plant more trees across the nation. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. Go online to arborday.org.
Tim O'Brien, I'm the National Deputy Field Director of the Human Rights Campaign, and I'm on the mic.
Streaming online at themic921.com. WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
CNN Radio News, I'm Lee Guerin. Convicted sex offender facing capital murder charges in the killing of 9-year-old Jessica Lunsford in Florida told authorities he buried her alive. That's according to a law enforcement source. CNN Radio's Susan Candiotti reports that neither of the two times police visited the home where John Cooey was staying did they have the legal authority to enter or search the premises.
The first time they were asking his half-sister and other people who were staying there about Cooey. He apparently wasn't there, but they were simply canvassing the neighborhood. The second time they said they went back was because they heard about some suspicious drug activity there, but the memo states that at that time they did not have enough information to conduct a search or to arrest anyone at that time.
Eric Rudolph, the man who hid in the mountains of North Carolina for 5 years, has agreed to plead guilty to 4 bombings. John Disney has details.
Eric Rudolph's plea agreement means he'll avoid the death penalty for carrying out 4 bombings had he been convicted, one at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, 2 others in that city at an abortion clinic and a lesbian bar, as well as 1 blast at an Alabama abortion clinic. The explosions killed 2 people and wounded more than 100. The Justice Department says the survivalist will now get 4 life terms in prison. Rudolph was captured in 2003 in North Carolina after spending more than 5 years on the lam. John Bisney, CNN Radio, Washington.
Catholics all over the United States filled churches while it was still dark to observe the Pope's funeral mass. Many of the churches had large screen televisions. AAA says the average price for a gallon of regular gasoline hit a record high of $2.26. Also, it's the first time the average price of gas at the pump has gone over $2 a gallon in all 50 states. Google's chief executive and co-founders, all billionaires, have asked that their salaries be reduced to just $1 annually. This is CNN Radio News.
You know, sleep can really impact how we look. I've noticed when I don't get enough sleep, not only does my skin look duller, but I just look older. So when I have pain and trouble sleeping, I don't just put up with it. I take something. Tylenol PM. It doesn't make me groggy, and it's non-habit forming. I just look and feel better when I get enough sleep. For me, it's not just about hitting the gym and stocking up at the makeup counter. It's about making sure I relieve my pain and I can sleep. Tylenol PM. Use only as directed.
Looking for Mr. Goodwrench, notes from the road. Bugs, birds, and bees. Spring has sprung upon us like
a sudden case of indigestion.
Thanks for that, Shakespeare. Anyhow, we met some folks who alleged the GM expert had helped them get in top shape for summer. What, he's into conditioning now?
Yeah, air conditioning, and wipers, and brakes.
How's that gonna help me look better in swim trunks?
Find Mr. Goodwrench at all GM dealerships nationwide.
Sensing a dead end, we got back on the road, only to discover we actually were in a dead end.
Beautiful people really do have it all. Rachel Lee has the story.
They look good, they get all the men or women, and they also make more. It's the beauty premium. Good-looking people earn about 5% more money than average-looking people, according to a study by the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank. And if that's not bad enough, there's also a plainness penalty. Those with below-average looks earn 9% less. It could be that attractive people's looks affect their self-confidence and social skills, or it could be discrimination. With a face made for radio, Rachel Lee, CNN Radio, Atlanta.
A former chef at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch testified Friday that he saw Jackson with his hand inside the shorts of child movie star Macaulay Culkin. He said he walked in on them while they were playing a video game in the ranch's arcade. He would have been 9 or 10 at the time. Culkin has denied that Jackson ever touched him inappropriately. This is news from CNN Radio. The Masters Golf Tournament has been rain-soaked so far this year. CNN Radio's Patrick Snell reports wet weather is nothing new to the groundskeepers at Augusta National, so the greens and fairways are well-maintained. But mud may be a problem, especially for fans.
The fairways, the greens do get well-aerated. Of course, nothing can be covered as such, but basically they are well used to it. And basically, although the greens have slowed up a little bit thanks to the rain, most players are still finding it a terrific challenge. And I think the only real problem is, possibly from the point of view of spectators, it does get very muddy, very soggy out there. There may well be quite a few people losing their footing.
Anna Ayala, the woman who claims she found a finger in her chili at a Wendy's restaurant, has a history of filing lawsuits, according to court records. That includes a claim filed against another fast food chain about a year ago. The woman has hired an attorney to represent her. I'm Lee Guerin. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1 and Cuts Fitness for Men want to help you get cut for a cause. Are you going to race for a cure? Bike across the state to raise funds and awareness. Do you want to be in great shape so you can help your cause even more this year? Get cut for a cause. Log on to themike921.com. Tell us why you want to get cut and what your cause is. 10 qualifiers will train at Cuts Fitness for Men, and our winners will get prizes for themselves and for their cause. Register today at themike921.com.
I think it's hard to talk to your parents about money. You're right.
Sherry Meyer of the American Savings Education Council.
But just imagine how hard it could be if you don't. Talk to them now about their retirement preparations. You'll be glad you did. Make planning and saving a family affair and choose to save.
Visit www.choosetosave.org for tools to help you prepare for your financial future. That's choosetosave.org.
Your life, your choices.
Choose to save.
From Mike Malloy to Step Up to the Mic on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic 92.1. Online at themic921.com.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Now, let me give you the setup here. Amnesty International, about 6 months ago, had a report on the status of women in Afghanistan. It was not just about women. It was about Afghanistan. But they had a section about what women are dealing with in Afghanistan. Now, this is, you know, this is Bush's a prima facie case for freedom on the march, and Afghanistan is wonderful, and the girls get to go fly kites now. All right, let me just quote some of this for you. Half the population, women, face systematic and widespread violence. Everywhere they went, our researchers, that's Amnesty International, heard that women were afraid to even leave their homes in case they were abducted. A significant number of the women we met in prison were there for their own protection rather than as punishment. In one case, Dina, a human rights activist, was subjected to a drive-by acid attack 4 days after before being interviewed by Amnesty. Dina had been vocal against forced marriages in East Afghanistan. She was waiting for a shuttle bus outside her home in Kabul when three men pulled up in a car. One jumped out and threw acid at her, burning her neck. Asked whether she would continue her work after the attack, Dina replied, "I will have to. There is no one else to work on human rights violations against women. Who else is there?" Particularly shocking was the prevailing ignorance of the country's laws among judges and lawyers. One appeals judge in Kandahar was not able to point to the law which made running away from one's husband a crime. Other legal professions in Herat and Mazar-e-Sharif were similarly caught out. Yet many of the women the researchers interviewed in prison had been convicted on this very charge, running away from your husband. It goes on. A judge interviewed in Kandahar said, "From the waist down, a woman is the property of a man." Now, Pickles was in Afghanistan. What was it, Kathy? Last week? Well, it was last week? It was last week, about 10 days. She was on the ground for what? 6 hours? 30 hours? I don't know. She went over there for a photo op to satisfy the mouth-breathing base of the Bush crime family back here in the United States of America. While she was there, she addressed a group of Afghan women. Now, there was no transcript of this address. As a matter of fact, the press was not even allowed in. But I have a friend in the Pakistan ISS. And he recorded this for me on a little tiny digital recorder. And we're going to play it for you now. Laura Pickles Bush addressing women in Afghanistan.
My fellow recently liberated women, I'm Laura Pickles Bush, and I want to thank you for inviting me to Afghanistan to educate you on the finer points of Western culture and fashion. I'm honored to spend these 30 heavily guarded minutes speaking through an interpreter to you lucky swarthy ladies so that you too can know the glory of wearing fine clothes like my snappy orange plaid pantsuit. I can see through your eye slits how eager you are to get started, so one of my assistants will be passing out personal grooming kits complete with tubs of crimson red lipstick and photos of one of our more stylish Southern Republicans, Miss Catherine Harris, for you to use as a guide. Freedom is on the march, and the poppies are blooming once again, ladies. Now that you're liberated, you no longer have to look like Paul Wolfowitz or my mother-in-law. So raise those veils and start plucking. Tweezers are your friends, gals. Since my Bushy brought democracy and a spanking new government to your formerly evil nation, you're now able to achieve your lifetime dream of flying kites and wearing white shoes. Until Labor Day, that is. But we'll save those more advanced etiquette lessons for my next 20-minute visit. Speaking of, we don't have much time before the calls to prayer have you scurrying back to your hairy and domineering, paranoid, fanatical, fundamentalist zealot hubbies faster than you can say clitorectomy, so let's begin. Now, not to brag, but in the wonderful land of America, I'm considered quite the snappy dresser. As I often advise my twin daughters, Jenna and the other one, during their sober moments, you can tell a lady by her ability to accessorize. I realize you've had scarce opportunity to nurture and develop your own unique fashion style since all you've been permitted to wear are identical dusty burlap charcoal grill covers for the last several decades, so I'm here to help. But before you burn that burqa, you might want to stash it in the back of your hut. It may come in handy when you feel the urge to exercise your newfound freedom by sneaking a smoke without fear of reprisal from one of the more old-fashioned male members of your family who isn't quite ready to embrace your recent emancipation. You've come a long way, baby. No need to risk getting stoned to death now when freedom in Filene's basement are waiting just around the corner. Now, I know that most of you gals are not fortunate enough to be one of the wives of a prominent opium merchant or pipeline driller or well-paid warlord, so many of you are on a tight budget these days. Believe me, I can relate. Before landing a rich and powerfully politically connected husband, I spent several months slaving as a low-paid librarian, so I too have known the hardship of having to buy Liz Claiborne coordinates and separates off the clearance rack at TJ Maxx. I've outlined some helpful hints on how you too can achieve my look for less. For example, you can't misunderestimate the cosmetic value of simply maintaining a cheerful disposition. While a shortage of common medical supplies and sanitary needles may prevent you from appreciating the magical miracle that is Botox, nevertheless, you can improve your appearance 1,000% by just putting on a happy face. Did you know that it takes 43 muscles to frown, but only 17 to smile? And actually only 3 with the right prescription? So turn those frowns upside down and slap on the Maybelline. Moving on to your wardrobe issues, 40 yards of fabric can hide a multitude of sins, but now that you'll be permitted by the males in your household to occasionally venture out of the rubble to walk briefly about in the daylight, it's time to think about how to flatter your figure with form-fitting spring fashions. It may take some patient practice to learn to daintily dodge landmines while wearing aqua faux alligator slingback pumps like I have on today, but trust me, the risk of serious injury and even death from inappropriate footwear is well worth it when you appreciate all the flattering male attention you'll receive as a result. Make sure you're the wife and or concubine he selects each night. You'll be amazed at how a pair of shapely heels both lengthen the leg and flame the fires of desire in even the most celibate, devout, and religiously crazed mullah. Imagine the wild and exciting nights you'll enjoy with your favorite Koran man. And you'll soon realize that there's no more powerful aphrodisiac than a 70% off sale at your neighborhood Lowman's.
Now I'm sure you're thinking, but Pickles, where do I find lovely and affordable beauty products and practical fun fashions in our liberated but still ravaged and decimated land? We understand that even though democracy has arrived full force in your dingy little country, at present you have no fine shopping establishments in which to practice your budding capitalist consumer skills. That's why my Bushy and the more corporate-minded members of his administration are working with a fabulous humanitarian aid organization in America called Walmart to establish a safe, well-lit, carpet-bomb-free shopping zone so you can outfit your remaining children in style and also purchase the latest furnishings for your cave or hut or hovel or whatever you little brown folks live in. Now, I'd love to stay and chat more, but our interpreter has another engagement, and unfortunately, I don't speak babble. So be sure to attend our next seminar, which will be conducted by Karen Hughes and Scott McClellan on the topic of stylish dressing for the sexually misguided, queer plan for the Taliban. In closing, let me say, praise Allah, God bless Bush, and in your own language.
Well, then. I want to thank Ali Aksakan who recorded that for us. See, American media would never allow something like that to get onto the electric TV, because it just might, you know, might inflame passions over here. And all right, can we take a break for just a minute? Okay, that's good. All right, quick break here. Stay with us. When we come back, maybe we'll have some phone calls, and I don't know. Maybe we'll do something else. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
About Aleve for those with arthritis pain. Reports are out about an independent government panel. According to the New York Times, several panel members said that patients in need of pain relief should first try naproxen, sold as Aleve, before COX-2 inhibitors. Forbes.com says the committee considered naproxen to be the safest NSAID from a cardiovascular standpoint. If you suffer from arthritis, ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
I have a roof over my head. I just want to be sure it's a solid roof.
You can, because at the Home Depot, our network of professional installers can handle your roof. You get the highest quality materials, all installed by licensed, insured professionals, backed by the Home Depot. You'll work with your own project manager, so your job goes smoothly. Call 1-800-79-DEPOT for a free in-home consultation. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. License numbers available at your local store or homedepot.com.
Morning's Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
The imposition of a state religion is, by its very definition, anti-American. What we're talking about is the imposition of a particular strain of religion. And this is part and parcel of the baby steps that lead to fascism. Right. Eventually, we will get there if these people have their way.
Morning's Edition, from 5 to 8.
Floyd Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike, 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
When I do my corporate speeches, I normally talk to groups that are anywhere from 60 to 97% Republican. They know I'm a liberal, and they're normally aware that they're conservative, so Sometimes they're a little nervous that I'll do jokes that make them uncomfortable or angry. Here's how I diffuse the situation. I say, as you can probably figure out from my book, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot, I'm a liberal, and I know you're conservative, and that's okay. See, I've discovered that Democrats can't afford me. Huge laugh. They love this. It makes them feel rich. Then I say, so what I do is I make fun of you, you laugh, and then you pay me. Another huge laugh. Now I can say pretty much anything I want, and they'll just laugh and pay me. Everybody's happy. Democrats are a different story. Unlike corporate events, which, by the way, I love, you can book me on the web, I speak to Democrats for free. I try not to do it too often because, you know, a guy's got to eat. So I pick and choose. And the Democrat I did the most speaking for over the years was Paul Wellstone. Part of it was that I grew up in Minnesota, and Paul knew my folks. In Wellstone's first campaign for the Senate in 1990, my dad was part of a senior citizen theater troupe that did skits for Paul at nursing homes. That's pretty grassroots, don't you think? My dad died in 1993, and my mom went downhill pretty fast. They had been married for 51 years. She got depressed and about 4 years ago went into a severe psychotic depression, which brought with it an exciting element of paranoia. One night at the hospital, I went up to one of the nurses and said, excuse me, it's kind of awkward to ask this, but I feel out of loyalty to my mom that I should. Go ahead, she said. Yeah, what I was wondering is, are you pumping poisonous gas into my mom's room? And are you videotaping her? And are you not really a nurse, but actually an actress who is trying to kill my mom? No, said the kindly nurse. I didn't think so, but I felt I had to ask. Fortunately, the doctors pulled Mom out of it with some miracle drug, but she's never really been the same.
Feel like the left has you imprisoned in Madison?
Fear not.
For more details, keep listening to News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Stirring the senses, stirring sensibilities. The Mike 92.1, Madison's progressive talk.
I love the way you walk.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
And you talk that tough. You knocks me out off of my feet. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, boom.
21 past the hour. Bang, bang. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. Let's do some calls, all right? Okay. Ira is calling from New Jersey. Ira, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike? Thanks for taking a call.
Sure.
Yeah, today I took a little time off from work in the morning after talking to some people yesterday on Randy Rhodes' bulletin board. It was mentioned that war games, the kind that were done on 9/11 that Mike Gruber mm-hmm. talks about in his book, were being done today in New York and across the East Coast. So in conjunction with Bush's tanking in the polls and him being overseas and with Rice, a lot of people feared another 9/11 type event to prop him up and to try and get the country hyped up to go to war in Iran, which, as you know, Scott Ritter's been all around the country
right.
talking about it's going to happen in June, and the corporate media avoids it. This is another good sign that that's correct. So I don't know. It didn't happen, and I'm thankful it didn't happen. I work in New York. That's a little selfish.
Now, that was today?
Anyway, that was today. The war games that were up and down the East Coast. Just like
well, you know, it's a damnedest thing. Late this afternoon, Kathy and I and the kid were in the kitchen. We were feeding Molly and just kind of hanging out. And in the space of about 30 minutes, there were a couple of military jets that just went roaring over our section of the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains here, and we weren't sure what it was. So that's what it was, huh?
Could be. That could be. I mean, they're simulating hijackings, and they're simulating attacks supposedly from Russia coming from northern Canada, and who knows what else, because there were four or five of them on that day.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you interview Michael Rupert. And,
right. Do you think then...
I think we're in for something before June. That's what I'm fearful of. Yeah. In for something. In other words, he's got to push his own numbers up. But he's also, I mean, there was nothing mentioned in that poll today about support for some kind of activity in Iran, which is supposedly, I think, the last thing I saw on Fox of all networks, about 19 or 20%, which is probably lower if that's what it was there, you know, on Fox. So, which I don't really watch it. I just glanced at it at a fitness center that it happened to be on. But I don't know. I just think we're in for something. And what are you going to do? I don't know how you avoid it, but I just think we're in for something prior to June. And I hope that's wrong, too. But
I tend to agree with you, Ira. These people have turned me into a tin hat foil or tinfoil hat wearing freak. I'm getting on edge too. Every time I see one of these polls that reflect the fact that it seems like the sheeple in this country are starting to realize just how sick and degenerate and murderous this administration is and how it's destroying America, and therefore no longer supporting it with the same mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging attitude that it had. Every time I see those numbers go down, I think, oh, Jesus, here we go again. There's going to be something. You know, this thug is going to do something. Karl Rove is not sitting in the bathroom in the White House reading the Wall Street Journal with his pants down around his ankles. He's sitting in there with a notepad trying to figure out what the hell to do to refocus this country's attention, just like these pigs did on September 11, 2001.
I don't know what you do to avoid it.
Or, I'm sorry, not 2000. You know what I mean. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but I think if the same kind of event happened, I think some people would be more than at that time. More would be tuned in to how could the same thing, the same scenario happen again with the collapse of the air defenses and whatever they choose to do. How, you know, some big building collapsing within a relatively short time, suspiciously, you know, some kind of implosion. But there's a lot of stuff they could pull off though that could even be more devastating. So, and you can't put anything past them. That's the whole problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. Hey, thanks for checking in, Ira.
Thanks for taking a call.
All right, I appreciate your point of view there. That's the terrible part of living under the heel of not proto-fascism but neo-fascism as practiced by these people who have control of this country. You know, as part of their MO is anything goes. It doesn't matter. Anything goes. Anything to control. Continue to control. To use fear. To use the technique laid out so clearly by the Nazis in Germany in the 30s. The fear of external attack, the fear of internal subversion, the constant need to be on guard, and the turning to the exalted leader to save us all. So, yeah, Ira's right. There's no telling what the hell might happen here in the next few weeks, especially as Bush's numbers plunge even further. You know, and you all wonder sometimes why I say, watch your back.
Tonight, in the Mideast, the oily Mideast, I'm gonna pick a fight.
Bring it in, I'm such a twit.
No weapons of mass destruction can be now. Halliburton surgeon bears oil in the mouth. On your TV, the cable TV, the liar speaks tonight.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? I'm Jim O'Connor, independent life insurance agent specializing in term life insurance. There's been a price war between the major life insurance companies. If you've had your term life policy more than 2 years, you may be paying too much. For example, a male, age 45, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $1 million of coverage is only $56 a month guaranteed level for 10 years. Or a male, age 50, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $500,000 of coverage is only $91 a month guaranteed level for 20 years. The life insurance industry is going through exciting changes. Make sure you're not paying too much for your term insurance. For new or replacement term life insurance, call for a free quote. 800-799-0903. That's 800-799-0903. Don't pay too much for your term insurance. Call 800-799-0903 or visit my website at term22.com. That's term22.com. Rates based on standard underwriting and may vary by state.
Isn't spring great? Colors are in bloom everywhere. Pink petunias in the yard, red roses in the garden, soft lilac in the bedroom.
Bedroom?
I let color bloom in my room with Ace Royal Paint. They've got thousands of colors to choose from, or they'll match any color you want.
Oh, so my kitchen can match my marigolds.
Sure.
And my bedroom, tulips.
Tell us how you let color bloom, and you could win a $1,000 gift card and have your room star in an Ace ad. Plus, save $5 on every gallon of Ace Royal Paint. See your local Ace, the helpful place, for details.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Contest ends 7/31/05. Void where prohibited.
Good news about Aleve for those with arthritis pain. Reports are out about an independent government panel. According to the New York Times, several panel members said that patients in need of pain relief should first try naproxen, sold as Aleve, before COX-2 inhibitors. Forbes.com says the committee considered naproxen to be the safest NSAID from a cardiovascular standpoint. If you suffer from arthritis, ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Use is directed for minor arthritis pain.
The Al Franken Show, Catherine and Al, America's answer to the lying liars, here on the Mike 92.1.
I got to tell Catherine and everybody about Noah.
Yeah, okay.
He just knows everything, and it was annoying. He's an annoying guy.
I wouldn't say I know everything, Al.
No, yeah.
Okay,
well,
that was annoying.
Well, it was more the way he said it, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Okay, now, but I said Noah always has these great little observations, and I said you should do this Noah's Corner, and for some reason, finally, I guess you waited till you knew we were a success.
Well, you know, Al, you have to spread your bets and make sure that you're only taking the sure risks.
Noah, you're emailing me all the time. I go, do Noah's Corner. What'd you come up with here?
Well, Al, an organization called Political Moneyline just released a study of federally funded, taxpayer-funded congressional travel since the Republicans took over in 1994. And I thought I'd read you the top countries that members of Congress have been visiting. The United Kingdom has 701 visits, followed by France at 409.
Britain, Great Britain.
Italy, and then France.
Uh-huh. Now, those don't sound like... Those sound more like... tourist destinations.
Yeah, it bears a strange relation to my own summer vacation plans this summer, actually, Al.
Yeah.
And Dennis Hastert's spokesman said that Speaker Hastert has to make these trips because he and other members of Congress need to get a first-hand knowledge of the roughly $20 billion spent in overseas assistance.
Ah, and much of that assistance must go to Great Britain, France, and Italy.
I'm just wondering.
None of those countries get any.
Can we compare it to the trips to, I don't know, Darfur?
He hasn't taken any trips to Darfur. He did go to Nigeria once, and also the enormously undeveloped country of Luxembourg.
The next time you see a Philip Morris commercial that makes it look like Big Tobacco really cares about your health, understand that as the commercial is running, Big Tobacco is doing everything they can do to target children with exotic new brands of cigarettes that are candy flavored. We're going to be talking about that. We'll also turn up the heat on Bill Frist, who's looking out more for the health of the pharmaceutical companies than he is yours. And we'll pay tribute to a real friend and a colleague, the real Johnny Cochran. Join Bobby and me on Ring of Fire
Saturday at 5 on the Mike 92.1.
The American Association of Retired Persons is opposing President Bush's plans for Social Security. Why would they do that? If you want to know the truth about old people, talk to the people who know them.
Old people are needy. I need a ride. I need a walker. I need something to eat. Could somebody please help me? I'm in the toilet. I can't get out. It's horrendous.
I have to spend 15 minutes helping my mother find her glasses because she forgot where she put them. Just forgot.
Dude, they crap in their pants.
Enough about World War II. I get it. You were there.
I'm sorry, but if you're going to dinner at 4 o'clock, you really don't need more money.
You liberated Auschwitz. You were there. I understand. Can we watch The Apprentice now?
And when they wear those diapers, they can pee right on themselves, too. Just pee.
Brian! My name is Brian! God! I remember this one time, my uncle, he was on the floor. I thought he was having a heart attack or he was dead or something. Turns out he wasn't. Just on the floor.
Who the hell is Bobby? Nobody knows Bobby! Dude, they crapped their pants.
old people. They oppose President Bush's plans for Social Security. Isn't it time they died already?
Paid for by Swift Boat Veterans for whatever cause is being funded by the right-wing millionaires at the moment.
Wow. That's,
you've done it now.
That's powerful stuff. I mean, it's awful what those people do.
Fine, anytime, anywhere. Just go to themike921.com. Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike 92.1.
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Before the hour. Back to your calls. Jeff is calling from Atlanta. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, now I know what those jets were. I was wondering myself.
Heard him too, huh?
I heard him and saw him the second time.
Yeah.
I specifically called for one quick point of the fact that Sunday night an Iraqi veteran anti-war will be speaking at a Decatur church if you want the specifics, get them from me off the air. I know someone like yourself who's an atheist, and in general, people, liberals are, if anyone talks about the Armageddon or all that kind of crazy stuff, we just think all that crazy stuff, and we just don't take it seriously, period. But sort of an aside, not quite related, there's a band called We Are the World Trade Center, formed before 9/11 out of Athens, Georgia. And how would you explain the fact that just so happens their first album, the 11th song on the track was titled September? That's bizarre. And all I'm saying is try to be open to things we can't explain. You know what I'm saying?
Wait. I'm not clearly understanding you. Are you saying the fact that I am a non-believer in institutional organized religion or cloud beings prancing around in the sky? I don't care if they're Jewish, Italian, Polish, Hindu. Are you saying that somehow I'm closing myself off to the possibility of the things I don't understand? Is that what you're saying?
Specifically, I think if not you, I think you specifically. I don't know you that well, but I think you specifically and a large part of our audience. I think it's a fair generalization that things of talk of biblical Armageddon, or, you know, the Pope saying he's the Antichrist, things of that sort, you don't give it, you know, 0.1% of anything other than silly spirit.
Let me make it clear. I think all organized religion is insane. Every single bit of it. I don't care what religion it is. Now, having said that, I appreciate the mythology. I love to read about the different gods and goddesses, whether they're Greek or Christian or Hindu. Excuse me?
What you're suggesting right now is something simply called fiction. I'm talking about something I believe in, kind of akin to the whole Antichrist thing. Just it's sort of like it's just they're polluting something that might actually have legitimacy, is all I'm saying, in terms of
I'm still not getting your point here.
If you're open to it, great, I don't have to qualify it all that way, but nonetheless I'm sure the audience
I'm not open to religion on any level.
Well, I'm not happy about religion. I'm not talking about religion.
All right. Then we're on the same page.
Great. Because I happen to, now this sounds fruity or whatever, and I hesitate to say this, but I'm just so, like, I feel so back into a corner, so to speak, because of that last caller's comments, which I totally, you know, he didn't say anything that I haven't already thought myself. You know, I've said before, Bush is the Antichrist. If he's not, then there's no such thing. Subsequently, I learned he once said that the internet was named after him. He said it in jest, www, it's named after me. It just so happens that in Hebrew, six is, every number has a correlated letter. Six is correlated with eight, with the...
Wait a second. You know, we can go crazy on this, okay? We really can, and that's fine, but...
Well, I shouldn't have even mentioned that example. I just think it's funny.
Okay, yeah, it's funny. I agree with you, it's funny. All right, Jeff, is that it?
Well, I was hoping you could let me read a poem, 8 stanzas of 4, called In Your Face. It's kind of like the mouthwash.
Hold on, Jeff, hold on. I got to move on. I've had you on for 4 minutes, and I got to move on to the next caller.
Can I get Kathy a detail for Sunday night?
I'll tell you what. I'll put you on hold.
Cool.
Talk to, who is it, David? Talk to David. David will get the info, and he'll send it on to Kathy, Kathy, okay?
Thank you. Cool.
All right, Jeff. All right. You have a pleasant high, and, you know, enjoy it. You know, whatever. Oh, my God. Byron is calling from Ohio. Byron, welcome to the program.
What's going on?
Oh, it's Byron, the over-the-road truck dude.
Byron, the over-the-road truck dude.
How you doing, Byron?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I got him sitting down at a truck stop in Stony Ridge, Ohio. I got a nice view of the interstate. And...
Oh, my God, that's near my hometown.
Oh, really? Where are you from?
Toledo.
Toledo, oh, yeah. Yeah, I just came through Toledo.
Yeah, you're right up right up the road from Toledo.
Right up the river, right on 280, you know, the bypass around on the east side. So.
I know exactly where you are. It's just hell up there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, any place I can park that I have a light coming through my window is good.
I
wanted to call and tell you that, you know, and congratulate you on your award the other night.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. I was very proud of you, and I'm glad you got it. I mean, everybody on this network does a good job, but I was glad to hear that you got it. And I know, especially after the fiasco in Chicago, that you were feeling a little down. So, you know, I was real glad that you got it. The major thing, you know, the news media has let the American people down. I'm just wondering how long they're gonna. They're going to keep quiet. I mean, I can't even watch the news anymore. I just, you know, it's like this Pope thing. It's, I mean, they ought to put it on one channel I mean, 44 guys got killed the other day in Iraq. I don't think anybody knows about it. I haven't heard any of these truck drivers talking about it.
No, you're not. They weren't all American, obviously.
Well, I heard on Randy's show and then on Morning Sedition this morning that there were 44 killed the other day. I really didn't grasp if it was all in one day or all in one firefight or whatever, but it seems to me that the gist that I got was that there was some big to-do and 44 people were killed. So, but it was overshadowed by the Pope dying. And you asked a while ago how long it's been. I think it's been like 8 or 9 days. And in fact, they're rerunning it tonight at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern time, prime time. They're running the funeral over again. I mean, where's the news? Is there not anything else happening in the world? The Pope's taking it all. Well,
oh, I know, and it just freaks me out about what's going on under cover of this man's death. I don't get. On the one hand, I don't get what the American media is doing covering it like this. On the other hand, I do. You know, the murder trials, the child molestation trials. Other than Michael Jackson, nothing's really happening right now. So here's a biggie, boy. Here's a Pope that's dead, and here's they just beat it and whip it. Everything that needed to be said about this could have been said on the first day in a couple. 3 hours, and then let it alone. Let people who want to go, and just let it be. You know what I'm saying, Byron? This is disgusting. It has trivialized. You know, I don't believe this nonsense, but for the people who do believe it, the television trivializes and degrades something to the point where it's nothing more than a sitcom.
Well,
you know, all of
pays.
A sudden, huh?
It's what pays.
Yeah, I know.
It's where they can sell. It's where they can make the most geetus, man. It's where they can sell the ads. I mean, this country would not know what to do with a Cronkite or a Murrow or somebody like that. I mean, you and I are old enough to remember these people, but when news was news, but when they turned it into a profit making deal, when news had to make a profit, That destroyed it. I can't. I get most of my news from you guys, or I read whatever local paper, whatever town I'm in that morning. I'll read the paper. I'll glance over the USA Today, although I really don't like reading that because they don't seem to know anymore any words that have more than three syllables in them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just terrible. And my company pays for my satellite radio. There are two satellite radio stations or radio networks in this country. One plays you.
Yeah, that's serious.
Okay, I wasn't going to name them, but if you're going to, okay. The other one, which is the one I've got, which is XM,
right.
puts
Alan Colmes.
Alan Colmes. And, you know, I used to listen to him when he was in New York, and he's good sometimes, but he's wishy-washy. He's not consistent. And I don't know why they don't play you. It just ticks me off.
I know. It gets me, too. The only answer I have to that, Byron, is that they, before I joined this network, they already had a contract with the company that syndicates Alan Colmes, I guess. I don't know. You know, eventually
it'll
change.
Yeah, but it's a Fox product. It's a Fox product.
I know.
I got Fox, a Fox channel on my XM radio. Why don't they put him on the Fox network?
That's, I agree.
Hey, I want to leave you and all Air America listeners with a little ditty. You're familiar with it. I'm not sure that some of the younger guys are, but I'll let you go. I know I've been on here quite a while. You always give me plenty of free time, and I appreciate that. Of course, I have been with you since Atlanta the first time.
That's right.
But anyway, here goes. There you go, man. Keep as cool as you can. Face piles of trials and smiles. It riles them to believe that you perceive the web they weave, and keep on thinking free. And you keep on trucking, Brother Mike.
Thank you, Byron. You take care, pal. Thank you so much. Moody Blues, I love them. Quick break. We'll be back. This is Air America Radio.
Recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use only as directed.
If you have stiffness, swelling in one or more joints, or fatigue that accompanies joint pain, you may be suffering from arthritis. Although arthritis is more common in older women, it can occur at any age. To help control joint pain, make sure you maintain a healthy weight. Just a few extra pounds can put added stress on your bones. Also, stay physically fit and flexible, get plenty of rest, and use hot or cold treatments to relieve pain. Remember to talk to your health care provider first about an exercise program that's right for you. This health tip has been brought to you by Tylenol Arthritis.
Want to defend the homeland? How about reining in those Republican vigilantes? Arch-conservatives just can't stop taking the law into their own hands. From Tom DeLay and judges to Arizona's Minutemen and immigrants, who will hold the line and defend the law? We go to the border this weekend. Plus, Greg Palast on insider oil deals in Iraq, Israeli reporter Amira Haas on war and peace, and spring books.
Laura Flanders, Saturday and Sunday nights at 6, on the Mic 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
Bill Clinton's far-reaching plan to eliminate al-Qaeda root and branch was completed only a few weeks before the inauguration of George W. Bush. If it had been implemented then, a former senior Clinton aide told Time, quote, "We would be handing the Bush administration a war when they took office." Instead, Clinton and company decided to turn over the plan to the Bush administration to carry out. Clinton trusted Bush to protect America. This proved, 9 months later, to be a disastrous mistake, perhaps the biggest one Clinton ever made. Clinton's national security advisor, Sandy Berger, remembered how little help the previous Bush administration had provided to his team. Believing that the nation's security should transcend political bitterness, Berger arranged 10 briefings for his successor, Condoleezza Rice, and her deputy, Stephen Hadley. Berger made a special point of attending the briefing on terrorism. He told Dr. Rice, quote, "I believe that the Bush administration will spend more time on terrorism in general and on Al-Qaeda specifically than any other subject." Which brings me to a lie. When Time asked about the conversation, quote, "Rice declined to comment, but through a spokeswoman said she recalled no briefing at which Berger was present." Perhaps so, Dr. Rice, but might I direct our mutual friends, my listeners, to a certain December 30th, 2001 New York Times article? Perhaps you know the one, Condi. Shall I quote it? Quote, "As he prepared to leave office last January, Mr. Berger met with his successor, Condoleezza Rice, and gave her a warning. According to both of them, he said that terrorism, and particularly Mr. Bin Laden's brand of it, would consume far more of her time than she had ever imagined."
Take this cough test. Name this cough. That's a flu and cold cough. That's a COPD cough or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Any persistent cough should be checked by your doctor. Don't take chances. Get answers. Visit the American Lung Association online at lungusa.org. The American Lung Association, improving life one breath at a time.
I listen to NPR every morning, and I don't anymore. I just listen to Mark and Mark, and I laugh all the way to work, and they put me in a good mood.
Madison, you're on the mic.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. What did I hear a few minutes ago on Air America News? Bush now has, he's on his way back from pretending he was a good Catholic and going to see the bloated body of the dead Pope. He says he, on Air Force One, he, according to the Associated Press, he said he supports an independent judiciary and declined to endorse comments by House Majority Leader Tom DeLay that were critical of judges. He said, "I believe in proper checks and balances." Oh, in a pig's ass, you believe in proper checks and balances. No, you don't. What you should have said, George, "I believe that Tom DeLay is out of here because he's starting to embarrass me and I got to get rid of him." So, we've been telling you, and anybody else, you've been telling us, anybody with half a brain understands that Tom DeLay is toast. This little thug punk thief. Oh, God. Boy, isn't it fun to watch how they turn on one of their own when one of their own is no longer a political asset? Remember Trent Lott, right? Now, Trent Lott's still alive, and he's still in the Senate, but you wouldn't know that, would you? Every once in a while, he'll pop up like one of those little jack-in-the-box things like my eight-month-old daughter has. Do 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 do. Pop! There he is! That's what's going to happen to DeLay until November 06, when hopefully the people in Sugar Land, Texas will go, "You know what, Tom, we really love you, but you little creep, you stole too much and you focused too much attention on how vile and disgusting and filthy the Republican Party is, so we're going to get rid of you." You know that's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. In the meantime, I'll be curious to see. I just love it. It's like watching the soap opera, a political soap opera, or Shakespeare. It's like Richard III. It's just fun to watch all this unfold, right? Eh? So now Bush, you know, who can't, you know, he doesn't know whether to. Oops, almost said something bad. He doesn't know what to do in a situation like this. Because people like Tom DeLay, these thuggish neo-Nazis, protect Bush's right flank. So Bush doesn't have to get out there and say the garbage that this Texas freak Tom DeLay says. But there comes a point when even Bush, you know, this dry drunk, this addled freak begins to understand, oh, my poll numbers are going down. Where are they? They're at 44%, and that Malloy keeps saying they're 41%. Damn, they're that low? Uh-oh, time to blow up some more buildings in New York, I guess, or do we attack San Francisco this time, you know? It starts to dawn on him. So what does he do, huh? Karl Rove won't let him piss off the base. Now sit down, George, sit down. We'll figure out what to do here. Sit down. And then Karl Rove writes him a script. Just when you're on Air Force One, just say you support an independent judiciary. That's all you have to do. We know you don't. But say that, and it'll show up in contrast to what Tom DeLay is saying. And then, you know, the Republicans who are not mouth-breathing, snake-handling bug-eaters like Tom DeLay will say, oh, okay, all right, George, that's cool. We know what you're saying. But they're putting DeLay out there. I love to see a punk like DeLay twisting slowly in the wind, don't you? It's just amusing and fun, huh? It's going to get so bad, it doesn't make any difference how much hair dye he uses. His hairs are all going to turn gray, aren't they, huh? And that dead animal in his head is going to start to stir a little bit. Goodbye, Tom, you punk. Man. Bill is calling from Alaska. Bill, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Absolutely.
I'm the disabled guy who has emailed you from Alaska.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm familiar with your emails. Haven't heard from you for a while, though.
Before you came on another network, I had about an hour to kill. So I listened to another network and caught Sean Hannity. It was not the highlight of the day, but here's what I learned. He said that the Democrats are angry. They have all this horrible, horrible anger. He had a Democrat in the audience, and he just kept going on and on about how this guy was angry. And he then cut the guy off. He let him start to talk, cut him off, and kept saying, oh, you Democrats are all angry.
Right.
Of course, we know that Hannity is not angry. He just selectively airs facts. His views.
Well, I don't even know that he airs selective facts, Bill. Hannity is worse than the pig man, Limbaugh, and I'll tell you why. Hannity is derivative. Hannity has never had an original insult in his life. He's never written a book. His books are all ghostwritten for him. He can't put a coherent sentence together and have it make sense without having someone dictate it or write it for him. And everything that he does on his program is just Limbaugh light. That's all it is. Hey, Bill, we got a break here. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your checking in. Send me an email once in a while. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Thanks.
All right, sir. Take care. All right, I'll tell you what, enough with the emails already. If you missed the Pickles Beauty Tips for Afghan Women we played earlier, we'll play it again this last hour. Pickles talks too fast, I understand that. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
About Aleve for those with arthritis pain. Reports are out about an independent government panel. According to the New York Times, several panel members said that patients in need of pain relief should first try naproxen, sold as Aleve, before COX-2 inhibitors. Forbes.com says the committee considered naproxen to be the safest NSAID from a cardiovascular standpoint. If you suffer from arthritis, ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve.
Use this directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Spring is in the air, and something else is too. Pollen. That stuff that drives your allergies crazy. Before you run to the drugstore and start popping pills, try my high-filtration Orrick Professional Air Purifier risk-free for 90 days. It captures particles 100 times smaller than pollen. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Then if you don't breathe easier, just send it back. There's no obligation.
Stu Levitan here. Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks is one of the crowning achievements of our greatest singer-songwriter. Kevin Odegaard was there 30 years ago, playing guitar on the album, and he joins us this week to give us the inside story in his new book, Tangled Up in Blue. And we'll take an offbeat assassination vacation with Sarah Vowell. That's Sunday morning with Stu Levitan, 9 to noon, Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic, 92.1.
Hello, my name is Mike Leckrone, director of the University of Wisconsin Marching Band. My passion has always been the arts, so I was naturally drawn to an organization that helps children and adults with disabilities reach their full potential through artistic expression.
Join Mike and become a friend of Very Special Arts. Call 1-866-672-ARTS.
We need the support of friends like you to make dreams a reality. So come on, Wisconsin, become a friend of Very Special Arts. And on, Wisconsin!
I'm Greg from Madison, and I'm on the mic.
Streaming online at themic921.com, WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
CNN Radio News, I'm Lee Guerin. Jessica Lunsford may have been buried alive. We get more from CNN Radio's Susan Candiotti.
Sources close to the investigation tell us that it appears that Jessica Lunsford was in fact alive when John Cooey, the alleged killer and kidnapper, buried her in the backyard behind the home where he had been living.
And that was across the way from where Jessica lived with her father and grandparents. Eric Rudolph has escaped the death penalty. CNN Radio's Kelly Areno reports he'll plead guilty to the 1996 Olympic Park bombing and three others.
This plea deal, we're told, encompasses all of those bombings. And we're also told that Rudolph is scheduled to appear in federal court next week. Now, jury selection had already begun in the case against him in Alabama, and he did face a possible death sentence.
A Pakistani businessman is charged with violating U.S. export restrictions, CNN Radio's Dean Meserve in Washington.
According to court documents, Khan sought the help of an Israeli living in South Africa to obtain devices manufactured by a U.S. firm, devices which can be used to detonate nuclear weapons, but also to treat kidney stone.
A 2-cent increase for a first-class stamp will go into effect unless Congress steps in to block it. Jerry McKiernan, a spokesman for the U.S. Postal Service.
The price of a stamp, a first-class stamp, will go up 2 cents unless the Congress passes legislation within this coming year, which would take that obligation away from us. And if they do, we will withdraw this request.
The wedding of Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles Saturday will be very low-key. They've invited only 30 guests besides his children and her children. The wedding was delayed one day because of the Pope's funeral. The U.S. military says a CBS stringer wounded during fighting between U.S. troops and insurgents this week has now been arrested. He's suspected of being an insurgent himself. This is CNN Radio News.
The Chicago Underground Daily calls it an amazing cinematic wonder, spellbinding.
My daughter, I'm not sure if I can make it.
Father, you must remain strong, for I bring good news.
Oh, you bring good news?
Yes, I just save a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For birthdays, holidays, or any occasion, give the perfect memorable gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333, or visit us at starregistry.com, the Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list and send a beautiful personalized gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Macaulay Culkin has said he won't testify in the trial of Michael Jackson, but after Friday's testimony, that might change. CNN Radio's Miguel Marquez in Santa Maria, California.
There is
rumor and speculation that Macaulay Culkin may in fact testify. He has previously said that he would not testify, but since this testimony goes so directly to what they say are facts as to what Mr. Jackson did to Mr. Culkin, it may in fact be the case that Mr. Culkin does testify for the defense.
A 26-year-old female teacher at Tulare Western High School has resigned. She's facing charges of having sex with three of her underage students. Tulare is in California. In Colorado Springs, a female teacher faces a charge of sexual assault on a 17-year-old male student. Google's chief executive officer, Eric Schmidt, and co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin are all billionaires now. They have asked that their annual salaries be reduced to $1 each. This is news from CNN Radio. According to court records, Anna Alaya, the woman who claims she found a finger in her chili at a Wendy's restaurant, has a history of filing lawsuits. Ken Bono, a family friend who lives in her home, says authorities were unnecessarily rough and found nothing of interest in the process of ransacking the house.
I know Anna's she's very upset right now. She doesn't even really want to come out here. That's the reason why I'm out here right now. But I don't know, it's just a lot of stress. They keep harassing us and over nothing, you know. They didn't find anything when they came for the search warrant.
The second round of the Masters in Augusta, Georgia was called because of stormy weather. This was shortly after the first round was finished. It had been stopped a day earlier because of darkness. The top spot is shared by three players now: Chris DeMarco, David Howell, and Luke Donald. I'm Lee Guerin. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Mornings Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
They think that they can control everything and change everything to the world that they want it to be, which is impossible and fascistic.
Well, then we should beat them. And we should concentrate our efforts on beating them at every turn, every initiative, every front. And we can do it if we're organized and if we're smart.
Mornings Edition from 5 to 8.
On Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mic 92.1.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You are fed up. This is the Mike Malloy Show on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic 92.1.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. We'll do the pickle speech as recorded by one of our friends in the Pakistani Secret Service after the break at the bottom of the hour for the folks who want to hear this again. All right, here's DDA in Boston has sent me this link. We talk a lot on this program about the hypocrisy of the right wingers. It's the hypocrisy is what's disgusting. It's just, and I wonder what the right wing knuckle draggers are going to think about this story. Those people in middle America, red state America, who are always being exhorted by the right wing to hate the queers, deny the queers equal rights, human rights, civil rights, and for God's sake, don't let them get married, right? Who was one of the biggest proponents of anti-gay rhetoric in the United States Senate? That's right, Jesse Helms. Who was Jesse Helms' chief advisor in how to demonize queers, how to go after them? A guy named Arthur Finkelstein. Arthur Finkelstein was one of the political consultants who helped Jesse Helms rise to power. Now, Jesse Helms is long gone, and the only reason I reference that North Carolina pig, the Gaddafi of lung cancer, the only reason I bring him up It's because the guy, Finkelstein, the political consultant who made his career on gay bashing, just got married to a man. It's in tomorrow's New York Times. Here it is. Arthur Finkelstein, prominent Republican consultant who has directed a series of hard-edged political campaigns to elect conservatives in the United States and Israel over the last 25 years, said Friday that he had married his male partner in a civil ceremony at his home in Massachusetts. Mr. Finkelstein, who has made a practice of defeating Democrats by trying to demonize them as liberal, said in a brief interview that he had married his partner of 40 years to ensure that the couple had the same benefits available to married heterosexual couples. Finkelstein said, quote, "I believe that visitation rights, health care benefits, and other human relationship contracts that are taken for granted by all married people should be available to partners," end quote. I don't know whether to scream right now or... I don't know what to do when I read a story like this. I remember Finkelstein. He's about my age. He's been the most gay-baiting, gay-hating... Here comes a bad word. It's after midnight. Son of a bitch in American politics for the past 30 years. This guy has done everything he could to turn mainstream America against gay folk. And he marries his male partner because he wants the benefits that accrue to married people. I can't stand this. This is a guy who puts together campaigns explaining how the queers don't deserve anything. The queers don't deserve visitation rights in the hospital. The queers don't deserve health care benefits from the partner. The queers don't deserve yada, 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 on and on and on and on. This guy's life has been a font of hate against gay folk. Without ending, without let up. The Times is reporting this. Some of Mr. Finkelstein's associates said they were startled to learn that this prominent American conservative had married a man. Given his history of the party, especially at a time when many Republican leaders, including Bush, have campaigned against same-sex marriage and proposed amending the Constitution to ban it. Mr. Finkelstein has been allied over the years with Republicans who have fiercely opposed gay rights measures, including former Senator Jesse Helms of North Carolina. Mr. Finkelstein's associates declined to provide his spouse's name. He was married at his home by a gay state official whose name and office were not released. The ceremony was attended by relatives of both men, a few friends, and a state legislator, according to someone who was there. Finkelstein has frequently come under criticism by gay rights groups for representing politicians who have been ardent foes of gay rights. He helped create the template for a line of attack he repeatedly invoked against Democrats, including Mario Cuomo of New York, describing them as liberal. In Israel, Finkelstein used similar attacks against the Labor Party as an advisor to Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and as a consultant to the winning and losing campaigns of Benjamin Netanyahu, the former prime minister. This is the man who was the architect of Jesse Helms' rise to political power. This is a man who has done as much, if not more, than any political consultant in the United States to hurt, torture, kill, demonize, destroy, sanction his fellow countrymen because they were just like him, gay. Oh, my God. I could have gone all night without seeing this story. So this is in Saturday's New York Times. Adam DeGorney wrote this. I love the headline. GOP consultant's marriage is a gay one. Oh, you hypocritical snot, you. Just think. His partner of 40 years. Just think what Finkelstein could have been doing to ease the bigotry and hatred directed against gay folk in this country. Just think what this closeted gay man could have done. But no, he went to work for Satan. Finkelstein, shame on you. Shame on you. Now, what is Red State America going to find? Those of them who can read, who pick up the New York Times, those of them who can subscribe to New York Times, what are they going to read? What are they going to think tomorrow when they see this, huh? Once again, slapped right across their pimply ass faces. Bash, bash. Don't you people get it yet? Let me address the lurkers in the audience, you right-wing morons. Don't you get it yet? Huh? What's it going to take? These right-wingers, I don't care who they are, Finkelstein, Schminkelstein, I don't care who they are, they constantly make you look like fools. They jerk you this way and they jerk you that way, and then they do what they damn well please. Oh, well. Whatever. It's 14 past the hour. Let's go back to the calls here. Dan is calling from Denver. Dan, welcome to the program. Yo, Dan.
Hey, Mike, before I start, could I give a holler out to the person who put me onto your show? You're not actually broadcasting Denver. I stream you. Could I say hello to the person?
sure. Go ahead.
Your award-winning show.
Sure.
Shell in Sacramento, I know you're listening. You know me as Denver. Just wanted to say thank you. But, Mike, I just wanted to turn you on to a story that I believe needs some national attention. And that is of a guy named Glenn Spagnuolo up in Longmont, Colorado, which is about 25 minutes north of Denver. This guy is a Longmont city employee, and what he did is he made a call to a conservative talk show to defend Ward Churchill. And as you know, anybody with an IQ over of 70 could realize that Ward Churchill was saying was not as the right wing portrays it.
Right.
What this guy actually he called this right wing talk show, and the moment he hung up the phone, the police a person purporting to be with the Longmont Police Department, which is a basically a suburb of Boulder, it's right outside of Boulder, called him and asked him, "Are you the one who made the call to the I won't say the name of the show? Are you the one who made the call to this show?" And he said, "Yes, I am." The next day he goes to work, he's suspended from work, and this is clearly a First Amendment violation. The police department, because the police department is involved in this. So he gets suspended for a day while they check his computer to see what websites he's been checking out, because he actually made the phone call from a city phone. But as his lawyer was quick to point out, the city of Longmont has a contract with their employees, as many civil governments do. And mind you, this is a guy who's won an award. I believe it's called the Longmont Civic Employee Award, or I'm sorry, the Longmont Civic Employee of the Year Award. He's won it twice.
Okay, so he calls a radio program and he gets busted the next day, right?
Right.
And he gets... Okay, hold on a second. I'll come back to you. Let me do a break here. I'll come back to you because I want to hear the rest of this. Stay with us. This is Air America.
Mother Jones Magazine reports this month that privatization has run amok. And it's not just Social Security that's at risk. Ideas and words that used to belong to the public are quickly slipping into private hands. Donald Trump has trademarked the phrase, "you're fired," and the hand gesture that goes with it. Excerpts from Martin Luther King's speeches are cut from textbooks because publishers can't afford to buy the rights from his family. Comedians had to fend off music industry lawyers when they made a parody of the song "This Land Is Your Land." But it doesn't stop there. Public universities are now auctioning off their scientific research to corporations. Taxpayers pay for this research, but then it's locked up by corporations and used for private profit. President Bush has pushed for an ownership society. But let's hope this doesn't turn into a country where everything is owned. Words and knowledge belong to everyone. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I'm proud to be part of the Air America Radio family and host of Ring of Fire with my buddy, Mike Papantonio.
Bobby Kennedy is on a mission against the criminal corporations that pollute our water, our air, and our land.
And Pap is one of the country's most renowned trial lawyers, protecting consumers from killer products like asbestos and tobacco.
Join us on Ring of Fire.
Saturday at 5 on the Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
This chapter is a case study of how the right lies and viciously distorts. It is the story of how the right-wing media repeats its fabrications until they echo into the mainstream press. It is a story of pure cynicism in the pursuit of power. It is the story of how the lying liars took the deaths of my friends and invented a myth that changed the 2002 elections. And the best part is, it's hilarious. No, it's not. But listen anyway. You paid for this audiobook. The Wellstone-Coleman campaign had been considered one of the most negative in recent memory. Coleman had called Wellstone a joke. He told KSTP Radio on July 7, "I run against a guy who I quite often think is just the lowest common denominator. The lowest common denominator." Coleman said that Wellstone, quote, opposed any program that promised to move people from public assistance to private payrolls. Of course, that was a scurrilous lie. Paul's work in the Senate created jobs all over Minnesota. But mainly it was Coleman's proxies who played it dirty. The Republican Senate committee ran an ad called Pork that hit the hypocrisy jackpot. It savaged Wellstone for voting to, quote, spend thousands of dollars to control seaweed in Maui, claiming that he prioritized seaweed control over national defense. In fact, Wellstone did vote for S-1216, as did Strom Thurmond, Trent Lott, and 84 other senators. That bill did appropriate the seaweed control spending, but it also provided $21 billion for veterans' health care, $27 billion for veterans' compensation and pensions, and block grants to assist New York's recovery from 9/11.
How do you want to spend your retirement?
Alicia Willis of the Employee Benefit Research Institute.
Whether it's a cruise every month, time in the garden, golf, visits to the grandkids, planning and saving now can make your retirement dreams a reality. Your life, your choices. Choose to save.
Target how much you need to save by completing the ballpark estimate worksheet at www.choosetosave.org. That's choosetosave.org.
Choose to save.
Stephanie Miller, tune in weekday mornings at 8. It's your voice and your opinions, but it's my show.
On Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Back to Dan in Denver, who's telling us about this Glenn Stagnaglio case. Now, are you saying he was arrested?
No, he wasn't arrested. He was suspended from his job.
Suspended from his job because he called a talk show. Say who it was.
I'm sorry?
Say who the talk show was. We name names on this program. What station?
Chapman and Silverman, I believe. I don't know the station. They're actually a sister station of the station that carries Air America here in Denver.
All right, so what are they, right-wingers?
They're right-wingers, yes.
And so they had the caller on, and he's defending Ward Churchill's right to say whatever he wants to say, and the next day he gets suspended.
Suspended, correct.
These pigs. Oh, and by the way, we are, Dan, we are on, this program is on in the Denver-Boulder area. It's just that we don't come on until 1 o'clock in the morning. We're on KKZN, 760 AM.
Oh, what's the number of that? Is that 760 still?
Yes, 760. Okay. This program is on, but it doesn't come on until 1 o'clock in the morning, your time.
Okay.
Well, so that's probably why you didn't know.
I've been writing them letters telling them to put you on.
Right, okay. Well, that was probably why they did.
Okay. Well,
all right, what does this story mean to you, then? Let's wrap this up. What does this story mean to you when somebody gets suspended from their job because they defend Ward Churchill in this case?
Well, this means to me exactly what happened in Nazi Germany in the early 30s.
Bingo.
This is, I mean, they used to, if you know history, and I'm sure you do, Mike, the Jews at the time, they were being beaten to death in the streets, and then the Nazis came to them and said, hey, you know, this isn't right, what's happening to you, we can offer you a better life, we can get you out of the city, and they moved them into the ghettos, and then moved them into Auschwitz.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's gone that far yet, but, well, I mean, history repeats itself. Those who don't learn from it are doomed to repeat it. And America's going down a sad road here. There's not been much coverage, even in the Denver media, on this case. The Denver Post is finally starting to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad for it. But this is just, this makes my heart weep. I just want to cry that this kind of stuff is going on in my America.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. All right, Dan, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your comments, okay?
Thank you, Mike, and congratulations to you and your wife on your show. This is a great show. I'll stay up till 1 from now on to listen to you.
No, you can listen online. That's all. You listen online, it's live.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Take care, Dan. Somebody sent me an email. That story regarding Finkelstein, Jesse Helms' boy, an anti-gay activist who married he married his partner in December, 4 months ago. That's when he got married, 4 months ago. So 4 months of anti-gay rhetoric that continues in this country to the point where it's poison. You know, I wouldn't be so out there as to say that gays in this country are the new Jews. And you know what I mean by that, or the new black folk, you know what I mean by that. But this hatred against gay people, this attempt to demonize, how many states now have these abominations, these anti-marriage amendments? You know, the only way you can get married is if you have a penis and a vagina. You know, if you have a penis and a vagina and you want to get together with your penis and your vagina, you can get married. You know, if you have two penises and two vaginas, no. And how much the template for that kind of bigotry was put together by this freak Finkelstein. I call him a freak because he's a self-hating, apparently he's a self-hating gay man, in addition to being whatever the hell else he is that's self-hating. This makes me sick. Right? Well, it turns out, somebody sent me an email, said that Adam Nagorny, the guy who wrote the story for the New York Times, may be gay also. Why? 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 Do gay folk continue to set up these programs that will bash other gay people? I you know, why were there Sonderkommandos in the death camps in Poland and Germany, right? I don't know. It's the hypocrisy that just drives me insane. Eric is calling from Minnesota. Eric, welcome to the program.
Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Eric. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Hang on a second. Let me get you off the speaker.
Sure. Thank you.
All righty. So, what's the latest with the Gannon Gukert saga?
Well, I don't know. I don't, you know, there's certain things I can't do. I flipped over to C-SPAN today to watch the National Press Club contort itself into a forum for this whore, this prostitute, this phony journalist. And, you know, I watched it for about 5 minutes and just said, what the hell am I doing? You know, I can go out and mow the lawn. Of course, it was raining at the time, but I went out and mowed the lawn anyway.
And, regarding one of your previous callers who was going down the path talking about religion and how how W is corrupting a potentially legitimate religion. Do you recall what I'm talking about? I'm not sure how he came across you, but I kind of understand what he was talking about.
Hey, hold, Eric, hold the thought a second. I got a break here. I'll come back. We'll clear it up when we come back. Quick break here. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Beware the Holy Trinity, church and state and law. For every death, the virus gets more deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease.
let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use only as directed.
If you have stiffness, swelling in one or more joints, or fatigue that accompanies joint pain, you may be suffering from arthritis. Although arthritis is more common in older women, it can occur at any age. To help control joint pain, make sure you maintain a healthy weight. Just a few extra pounds can put added stress on your bones. Also, stay physically fit and flexible, get plenty of rest, and use hot or cold treatments to relieve pain. Remember to talk to your health care provider first about an exercise program that's right for you. This health tip has been brought to you by Tylenol Arthritis.
Did you know that most vacuums sold today spew dust and bacteria back into the air your family breathes? It's disgusting, I know. Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want to assure you that my 8-pound Orrick XL does not blow dirt back into the air. For a healthier environment, you want a hypoallergenic Orrick XL. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 for a free 30-day trial. 1-800-989-4200. I promise, my Orrick XL won't blow dirt back into the air. Ever.
Buy West Wing, the complete fourth season, Tuesday on DVD. A new term.
God bless the United States of America!
A new threat to national security.
Zoe Bartlett is missing, and there's a dead agent at the scene.
Tell me now, do you think she's already dead?
And no choice but to step aside.
He's invoking the 25th Amendment.
You're relieved, Mr. President.
DVD includes on-air scenes and bonus features that take you inside the White House and behind the scenes. West Wing, the complete fourth season. Buy it April 5th. And also available on DVD, the complete first three seasons.
Madison's Progressives are on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic, 92.1.
There's no doubt that the corporate quid pro quo has polluted our political process. Endless campaign cash has been exchanged in return for legislation that benefits a select few and leaving almost all of us in its wake. That's not democracy, that's corporate tyranny. Our legislation is intended to benefit the most of us while protecting the least of us. Almost all federal legislation in the past 4 years can be seen as a major boon for corporations and a burden for the majority of people. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we must begin throwing out the culprits of this corruption and fighting for reform that returns the people to our political process. We can start by focusing our resources on defeating Capitol Hill's alpha crook, Tom DeLay. While he doesn't represent my voting district, as House Majority Leader, he does represent me, and while I can't vote against him, we can use the legal campaign tools he's used against us in order to overthrow him. One of Tom DeLay's political action committees, Texans for a Republican Majority, or TRIMPAC, is currently being investigated for violating campaign finance laws by using corporate donations to fund Republican candidates. DeLay used the Celebrations for Children charity to funnel soft money from anonymous businesses into fundraising events at the Republican convention in New York. At a fundraiser for the DeLay Foundation for Kids charity, he took a $100,000 check from a private prison corporation in exchange for promoting the privatization of half of Texas prisons. Westar Energy executives told the House Ethics Committee that they paid a Tom DeLay Political Action Committee $56,500 in exchange for the opportunity to help draft legislation. He also violated House rules by accepting a trip to South Korea paid in full by a South Korean lobbying group. DeLay isn't too worried because two recent appointments to the House Ethics Committee are also donors to his legal fund. Tom DeLay is a corrupt crook operating in a corrupted political process. And although he's a local representative, it's in our nation's best interest to defeat DeLay. Tens of millions of Americans can and must overthrow a government that is currently controlled by the tens of millions in cash from a few corporations. I'll do my part. I'm Lee Rayburn, and I'm on the Mic 92.1.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
Guess the quote. Here we go. I think it's a nutty idea to fool around with the Social Security system and run the risk of hurting the people who've been saving all their lives. It may be a new idea, but it's a dumb one.
Rob Reiner.
George H.W. Bush.
What?
Yeah, he actually said that in a response to a question from fellow presidential candidate Pete DuPont during a presidential debate. George H.W. didn't think that was such a good idea.
Stephanie Miller.
Oops.
Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
On August 16, the INS arrested Zacharias Moussaoui, a flight school student who seemed to have little interest in learning to take off or land a plane. The arresting agent wrote that Moussaoui seemed like, quote, the type of person who could fly something into the World Trade Center. Trying to pique the interest of FBI headquarters in Washington, a Minneapolis FBI agent wrote that a 747 loaded with fuel could be used as a weapon. If this information had been shared and analyzed, for example, by a newly founded Homeland Security Agency, it might have sparked memories of the Clinton-thwarted 1996 Al-Qaeda plot to hijack an American commercial plane and crash it into CIA headquarters. On August 26, still on the ranch, Bush discussed with reporters the difference between his two dogs. Spot's a good runner. You know, Barney, terriers are bred to go into holes and pull out varmint. And Spotty chases birds. Spotty's a great water dog. I'll go fly fishing this afternoon on my lake. And you know something? He did just that. Among those left to swelter in the D.C. heat that August was one Thomas J. Pickard. No fly fishing for him.
Even if you don't get the politics, you'll get the funny. Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1. Streaming at themike921.com. You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Six before the hour. All right, back to Eric in Minnesota. Eric, go ahead. Thanks for holding on.
Thanks, Mike. With the earlier caller talking about religion and the potential of it being a legitimate outcome, and how the Bush administration and how a lot of the people in the whole in line with the whole neocon agenda are just basically bastardizing religion. On one hand, I'm pretty much a proponent of the idea that religion organized what is meant, developed by man, meant to organize and pacify the masses, and it was probably the original form of government. But at the same time, I also, you know, similar to what you were saying, I have a lot of respect for all religions, and except for those religions that condemn others. And
well, that's just about every religion, though. Now, don't email me, folks. I know there are a couple of exceptions, but just about every religion says it's the only true religion, and I don't care. I've gotten to the point where I don't care what the religion is. I don't want any part of it.
Is that true? Okay, I always figured that Christianity seemed to be the only one that claimed to be the one true way.
No, they all do. And I just talk to a Muslim, talk to an Orthodox Jew, and see what you get. Hell, for that matter, talk to a Hindu. Now, I understand. Again, please, folks, don't email me.
Yeah,
I don't want to get into...
all degree different people with different degrees.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the discussion. It's, you know, I've made myself very clear on this program. I think organized religion has been... the primary force that has retarded human development since the damn idea was invented, in order to assuage people's fear of the unknown, or fear of the dark, or fear of rustlings, or fear of death, or fear of whatever. I'm
right.
Sick of it. I don't like it. It disgusts me.
Right. I believe Christ or whoever, Joshua, Jesus, whatever. I believe he came to and part of his main deal was speaking up against these supposed religions.
I got you. All right, listen, Eric, I got to move on. Thanks, pal.
One more question.
No, I can't. I don't have the time. I got to move on. We're on a tight schedule here because I promised to play the interview, or not the interview, but the speech that Pickles gave in Afghanistan last week, I believe, when she was there. She touched down for about 6 hours for just a nice, smarmy photo op. And we had one of our agents, not our agent, but a friend of mine who works, let's just say a friend of mine. And we got this recording, and I want you to hear it. We played it first hour. If you didn't hear it, we're going to play it again. If you did hear it, stop sending me emails. This is the last time we're going to play it, okay? Here she is, Laura Pickles Bush, addressing a group of Afghan women in, I think it was in Kabul.
My fellow recently liberated women I'm Laura Pickles Bush, and I want to thank you for inviting me to Afghanistan to educate you on the finer points of Western culture and fashion. I'm honored to spend these 30 heavily guarded minutes speaking through an interpreter to you lucky swarthy ladies so that you too can know the glory of wearing fine clothes like my snappy orange plaid pantsuit. I can see through your eye slits how eager you are to get started, so one of my assistants will be passing out personal grooming kits complete with tubs of crimson red lipstick and photos of one of our more stylish Southern Republicans, Miss Catherine Harris, for you to use as a guide. Freedom is on the march, and the poppies are blooming once again, ladies. Now that you're liberated, you no longer have to look like Paul Wolfowitz or my mother-in-law. So raise those veils and start plucking. Tweezers are your friends, gals. Since my Bushy brought democracy and a spanking new government to your formerly evil nation, you're now able to achieve your lifetime dream of flying kites and wearing white shoes. Until Labor Day, that is. But we'll save those more advanced etiquette lessons for my next 20-minute visit. Speaking of, we don't have much time before the calls to prayer have you scurrying back to your hairy and domineering, paranoid, fanatical, fundamentalist zealot hubbies faster than you can say clitorectomy, so let's begin. Now, not to brag, but in the wonderful land of America, I'm considered quite the snappy dresser. As I often advise my twin daughters, Jenna and the other one, during their sober moments, you can tell a lady by her ability to accessorize. I realize you've had scarce opportunity to nurture and develop your own unique fashion style since all you've been permitted to wear are identical dusty burlap charcoal grill covers for the last several decades, so I'm here to help. But before you burn that burka, you might want to stash it in the back of your hut. It may come in handy when you feel the urge to exercise your newfound freedom by sneaking a smoke without fear of reprisal from one of the more old-fashioned male members of your family who isn't quite ready to embrace your recent emancipation. You've come a long way, baby. No need to risk getting stoned to death now when freedom in Filene's basement are waiting just around the corner. Now, I know that most of you gals are not fortunate enough to be one of the wives of a prominent opium merchant or pipeline driller or well-paid warlord, so many of you are on a tight budget these days. Believe me, I can relate. Before landing a rich and powerfully politically connected husband, I spent several months slaving as a low-paid librarian, so I, too, have known the hardship of having to buy Liz Claiborne coordinates and separates off the clearance rack at TJ Maxx. I've outlined some helpful hints on how you, too, can achieve my look for less. For example, you can't misunderestimate the cosmetic value of simply maintaining a cheerful disposition. While a shortage of common medical supplies and sanitary needles may prevent you from appreciating the magical miracle that is Botox, nevertheless, you can improve your appearance 1,000% by just putting on a happy face. Did you know that it takes 43 muscles to frown, but only 17 to smile? And actually only 3 with the right prescription? So turn those frowns upside down and slap on the Maybelline. Moving on to your wardrobe issues, 40 yards of fabric can hide a multitude of sins, but now that you'll be permitted by the males in your household to occasionally venture out of the rubble to walk briefly about in the daylight, it's time to think about how to flatter your figure with form-fitting spring fashions. It may take some patient practice to learn to daintily dodge landmines while wearing aqua faux alligator slingback pumps like I have on today, but trust me, the risk of serious injury and even death from inappropriate footwear is well worth it when you appreciate all the flattering male attention you'll receive as a result. Make sure you're the wife and or concubine he selects each night. You'll be amazed at how a pair of shapely heels both lengthen the leg and flame the fires of desire in even the most celibate, devout, and religiously crazed mullah. Imagine the wild and exciting nights you'll enjoy with your favorite Koran man. And you'll soon realize that there's no more powerful aphrodisiac than a 70% off sale at your neighborhood Lowman's. Now, I'm sure you're thinking, but Pickles, where do I find lovely and affordable beauty products and practical fun fashions in our liberated but still ravaged and decimated land? We understand that even though democracy has arrived full force in your dingy little country, at present you have no fine shopping establishments in which to practice your budding capitalist consumer skills. That's why my Bushy and the more corporate-minded members of his administration are working with a fabulous humanitarian aid organization in America called Walmart to establish a safe, well-lit, carpet-bomb-free shopping zone so you can outfit your remaining children in style and also purchase the latest furnishings for your your cave or hut or hovel or whatever you little brown folks live in. Now, I'd love to stay and chat more, but our interpreter has another engagement, and unfortunately, I don't speak babble. So be sure to attend our next seminar, which will be conducted by Karen Hughes and Scott McClellan on the topic of stylish dressing for the sexually misguided, queer plan for the Taliban. In closing, let me say, praise Allah, God bless Bush, and in your own language.
Oh, God. Okay. Ray is calling from Massachusetts. Ray, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, that was so funny.
Yeah.
That was great. That was really funny.
No, that's Laura. That's Pickles.
I had my topic, but I was going to say, you were talking about that, the gay guy, and it always turns out, like, the biggest homo haters end up being gay.
Isn't that weird, huh?
And that, you know what got me was last night we were talking about in Kansas, 414,000 people voted against gay marriage. It's like, what is with these people? It's like, I don't care what my neighbor does. I don't care how they're having sex. I could care less. It's like, these people, they have to tell everybody how to live, and it's just, I don't know.
It's terrible. You know, gay folk that want to get married, I don't know. Since I'm not gay, I can't get inside the mind of gay folk that want to get married. So I only know what I've heard, and that is very simple. It's like any other relationship. Where the two people feel committed, they want to partner off. God knows, heteros get married all the time, sometimes over and over and over again till they get it right, like I did. But there's also the legal aspects of marriage in this country, and in order to force marriage, and I'm not saying that's good or bad, in order to force marriage, all sorts of laws have been written and are instituted, not just in this country, but all over the planet, that are designed to foster marriage. Marriage being the union of two people. I don't care if they're gay or straight. The union of two people. And these laws that favor unions between two people are designed to... just to make life easier. And if you say to a whole class of people, well, you can't participate because we don't like the way you're getting married, I say to hell with that. Hey, let me put you on hold. We got a break. We'll be right back. I'll come right back. Stay with us. This is Air America.
Good news about Aleve for those with arthritis pain. Reports are out about an independent government panel. According to the New York Times, several panel members said that patients in need of pain relief should first try naproxen, sold as Aleve, before COX-2 inhibitors. Forbes.com says the committee considered naproxen to be the safest NSAID from a cardiovascular standpoint. If you suffer from arthritis, ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Ooh, I got it.
Okay.
Thor.
You're joking.
What? It's a strong name.
No.
Okay, fine. Another one I have is Caspian.
What, like the sea?
Yeah.
No way.
I need a powerful name for my son.
Your son? Our son. You know what? We've got time. We don't need to decide now.
You're right. Let's at least wait until you're pregnant.
Love has its uncertainties, but looking for love shouldn't. Match.com. So many marriages, so many babies. Love is complicated. Match is simple. Visit Match.com today.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
British TV host Anna Richardson alleges she was libeled by the California governor and two of his campaign workers. Schwarzenegger, of course, denied it.
Come on! These charges are outrageous and false and untrue and these kinds of things, just like the other charges. These allegations are as phony as a knackers, allegedly.
I wonder if Maria has a frying pan.
Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike 92.1.
Now, we had the, of course, they brought the Swift Boat guys in, because what doesn't scream uniting dialogue and then the Swift Boat veterans? That's, now they have a new scatty ad. It's the iceberg, Jim.
Some people say Social Security is not in trouble. Just like some thought the Titanic was unsinkable. Once, 16 workers supported one retiree. Today, three workers do. But when younger workers retire, only two will support each retiree. Soon, Social Security will be in the red, spending more than it takes in.
Red, danger.
If nothing is done,
it
will go bankrupt.
Bankrupt!
President Bush wants to rescue Social Security before we hit the iceberg.
Thank you, President Bush.
Voluntary personal retirement accounts to give younger workers the choice of saving for their own retirement nest egg. No payroll tax increases.
No tax.
And no changes for those 55 or older.
But we have to move ahead with courage and honesty.
Courage.
Because our children's retirement security is more important than partisan politics.
We love you.
To hit the iceberg. Urge Congress to help President Bush save Social Security.
Help him.
Now.
Help him. But the Titanic theme, they're very, very excited about. They're running with that. I believe we have the new ad.
Coming soon, the Titanic Social Security Crisis, starring George W. Bush and Phyllis Diller as the gullible retiree.
Stretch your arms out. Take a risk. Imagine a personal risk ownership society. Bye-bye, gullible retirees.
I'm flying.
I'm king of the world. Gotta go. Got time to invade another country. Oops.
The Titanic Social Security Crisis. Coming soon.
Could you save $20 a week for your future?
Verony Palladino of the American Savings Education Council.
You don't need big money to accumulate big savings. Small amounts saved regularly over time can really add up thanks to compound interest. Start saving today. Your life, your choices. Choose to save.
Visit www.choosetosave.org for tools to help you prepare for your financial future. That's choosetosave.org.
Choose to save.
Progressive Talk Online at themic921.com and join Mark and me for Morning's Edition from 5 to 8 on The Mic 92.1.
As you know, Vladimir Putin and I have got a good personal relationship. This is a vital and important relationship, and the relationship's an important relationship, and I would call the relationship a good relationship.
I'll tell you, brother.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
Have one without the other.
All right, before we go back to Ray here, thanks to the usual crew for the show tonight. The program, it was engineered in New York City, of course, by Colin Tipton and Jason Isaac. David Fazeka screened your calls. When you all call in, be nice to David. He's the key to getting on the program, right? Also, thanks to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Ben Birch, who handles the archiving of this program, among several, at whiterosesociety.org. Also, Mark Marshall, our webmaster at mikemolloy.com. And our most exemplary music bureau chief, Jim in Arkansas. Plus, a big thank you to all the militant mods at mikemolloy.com on the message board. We appreciate what you folks do to keep it moving. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. All right, back to Ray in Massachusetts. Now, you were going to talk about what this thug from Texas, Cornyn, said on the Senate floor, right?
Oh, yeah, no, just to wrap up that other thing, it's like I just don't care what other people do, and I don't understand, you know, who are these people that want to tell other people
how to
live. But anyway, as far as Cornyn goes, it's like what he did was like if you or I said that, we would be arrested by the FBI.
Oh, in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
And it's like he justified violence against the judiciary, and it's like if you want to follow his logic, it would be like, okay, if we don't like what the Senate or the Congress does, we should beat them up or kill them or something. I mean, that's the logic he's using. And I can't believe that nothing's been made out of this, and that this guy should have to resign for saying something like that. You know, he's a United States senator to say something like that.
Well, you know, there was a meeting in D.C. over the past couple of days of these filthy, vomitous conservatives. They're having a discussion on, I think the title was Remedies to Judicial Tyranny, and they decided that this is in tomorrow's Washington Post. They decided that Justice Anthony Kennedy, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, should be impeached or worse. And the lead sentence in the Washington Post article tomorrow says Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy is a fairly accomplished jurist, but he might want to get himself a good lawyer and perhaps a few more bodyguards. Because what was said, that's the end of the quote, what was said at this Remedies to Judicial Tyranny meeting, these right-wing animals, these filthy right-wing animals, are now starting to threaten Supreme Court justices. And you're absolutely right. If you or I even came close to saying something like this, we would either be disappeared or suicided in a heartbeat.
Who got the worst decision in 2000, the worst decision in this country? We got it. The Supreme Court took the election from us, and did we say, oh, we should kill Scalia, we should kill... No, we were like, we realized there's something very wrong in this country, and we have to change
right.
it.
But right.
we're not going to kill... I mean, this is a United States senator. There's no way he should be another day in that Senate.
That's very true. That's very true. He should be removed immediately. And of course, that can't be done.
No, it'll never happen, because Republicans don't get arrested in this country.
But these right-wingers, I'm telling you, there's a backlash building, and the day is going to come, and I hope I'm around to see it. But there's a backlash building against these snotty red state morons, these fake Christian Nazis, these right-wing political Nazis. There's a backlash coming from America that's going to devour them, all of them. And it's going to happen. I have to believe that, because I have children and grandchildren, and I want them to have something, a country at least something like what I had. And I'm not talking about how it was in the 50s or 60s. I'm talking about how our institutions were. They always are open for improvement. But you know what I'm saying with that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
I want to congratulate you on your award, and I think you deserve it so much. And I saw, like, other people on Air America were nominated, and they have great shows, but you are unique, and you're the best thing on radio. So.
Well, I'm with a good group of people, every
and
single one of them.
Your wife does such a great job, too.
Air America has put together a crew that's just unbelievable. I listen as much as I can during the day. I have finally found a network where I can listen to Sam Cedar, I can listen to Janine, I can listen to Randy, I can listen to Franken, and I don't feel like, you know, some kind of a freak anymore. And it was just an honor to be associated with these people. And next year, Al's going to get it, or Randy's going to get it, or Sam and Janine, somebody. But I admit it. I think it was a real good feeling to be with this network and to win that award. But I don't like to talk about it. Listen, thanks for checking
okay,
in, Ray.
Mike, have a great night.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. Roger is calling from Seattle. Roger, welcome to the program.
Yes, Mike. Well, congratulations, you and Kathy, on this award for being the best in New York. I think you're the best in the country, and I think...
All right, now wait. Full disclosure here. Roger and I have been friends for 25 years.
Yes,
he used to live here in Atlanta. He's a PhD. He's a sociologist. He's got a book coming out. When the book comes out, we're going to put him on the air. So come on, Roger. I can't just pretend
well,
like...
Well, I may be biased because I know you, but I mean,
right.
People that hear you who don't know you say the same thing. So,
well, thanks, Raj. When's the book
coming out? A little bit of consensual validity. Here,
when's
right?
the book on teenage sex coming out?
It's teenage and young adult. Well, as long as Barnes & Noble buys it, it should be out in the next month or so. We're still waiting for them to know where to put it in their bookshop.
All right. Well, we're gonna book you on the program, and
right.
let me just tell people who are listening now, you're not going to believe Roger Libby. Roger, we're out of time. We're also out of town. Hey, we got to go. Roger, I'll talk
well,
to you later.
Congratulations. All right. Thanks,
all right.
Mike.
Take care. Yeah, we're going to have Roger on soon when his book comes out, which is going to be fairly soon. Stick around for that, right? That's it for tonight. Thanks for participating. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Take care. Watch your back, okay?
I'm going straight.
Have a nice weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
important news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use only as directed.
If you have stiffness, swelling in one or more joints, or fatigue that accompanies joint pain, you may be suffering from arthritis. Although arthritis is more common in older women, it can occur at any age. To help control joint pain, make sure you maintain a healthy weight. Just a few extra pounds can put added stress on your bones. Also, stay physically fit and flexible, get plenty of rest, and use hot or cold treatments to relieve pain. Remember to talk to your health care provider first about an exercise program that's right for you. This health tip has been brought to you by Tylenol Arthritis.
If you... Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
Fridays are really good at asking the straight question for yes, no. Are they closing VA clinics in America? And the answer is yes. Are they reducing benefits?